Blog Talk Radio.
Man, Cleopatra Jones.
And I'm chill like that. 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 I'm chill.
Seven and a crescent. Us cause a buzz when a nickel bags are dealt. Him, that's my man with the asteroid belt. They catch a fizz from the Mr. Doodle Big. He rocks a tape from the Crooklyn 9 pig. The reverbs are slick like my gangster stroll. The lyrics just like Luke coming stacks and rolls. You used to find the bug in a box of days. Now he boogies up your stage, plats twist the braids. And I'm peace like that. 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 Just get out, man. I groove like that. I'm smooth like that. I jive like that. I roll like that.
Yeah, I'm thick like that. I stack like that. I'm down like that. I'm black like that.
Well, yo, I funk like that. I'm fat like that. I'm in like that because I swing like that. We jazz like that. We freak like that. We zoom like that. We out. We out. We out.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And we are live right now on Street Queens, The Movement on the Lush Radio line. And we're live in the building, and we're definitely getting it in tonight. Tonight we have a beautiful, intelligent, very creative and very artistic young lady live in the building, a beautiful young lady that's an author of a book, The Harsh Reality, An Impossible Dream, an inspirational story of Shanice Craft, live from the Be More area. And, you know, we're going to be talking to her. She's going to be giving us a quick synopsis of the book. And we're actually going to read, you know, the beginning pages of the story. And also we're going to give the 10th caller to the show will receive a personalized book from Ms. Craft tonight on the show. So make sure you call in at 347-826-7722. And make sure you be that lucky winner of that wonderful inspirational book. And also, after the interview, we're going to go and continue on to part two. Part two, you heard? Part two of the 48 Laws of Power. And if you need any transcripts of the 48 Laws of Power to go along and discuss in our forum with us, it's only $2, $2. So make sure you email me at CEOLushRadioOnline@gmail.com, and we will send you over the transcripts via email. Only $2, only $2 if you're interested in following along with us and you want to comment on different things. But you can comment even if you don't have the transcript. But we're going to talk about the part two of the 48 Laws of Power. We left off on Law 16, so we're going to be moving on. But tonight is going to be a hot night, so definitely implore everybody to come check this out, because we're going to have the beautiful and lovely Miss Kraft live on the line. And let me go to the line and see if we have beautiful Miss Kraft on the line with us. Miss Kraft, greetings. Is that you over there on the line with us, love?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Good evening. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you on here, because you are a young, beautiful black woman doing your thing in the industry, and I'm definitely proud of everything that you're doing. And we got to give you some street queen love, because you are a queen, and we salute our queens for making their accomplishments. So let's give you some love, big girl. That's what it is. We're definitely honored to have you on the show tonight and everything. And once again, like I said, people, the 10th follower received a personalized book from Ms. Kraft. Make sure you're the 10th caller. You can call in at 347-826-7722. So, Ms. Kraft, you want to, you know, what was the inspiration behind the book, and how long have you been writing?
Honestly, I have to give all the praise and honor to God and glory. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't inspired to write a book. I was actually pushed into writing a book. You know, it was the book that I wrote is actually my life story. So my life is going to be an open book to the world, everyone that reads it. So that's kind of scary. So I wasn't so quick to jump to do that, but it wasn't about me, because the story that I'm telling is about a lot of people out here that has gone through the same thing. And it was about reaching someone before they made the same choices that I did.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And are you originally from the Baltimore area, actually?
I'm actually from Sugar Hill, New York.
Wow, okay. That's what's up. That's what's up. Shout out to the New York area. That's definitely what it is.
That's right.
definitely, definitely, man. And, you know, I want to give you guys a quick intel real quick. The Harsh Reality, Impossible Dream is an inspirational true story of Miss Kraft, a single mother, a businesswoman who has struggled, succeeded, been knocked down, and lost it all, only to rise again into a new and greater success with God as her guide. And it's a truly inspirational story, and I think most women, and not just even women, I think even men can relate to this book and this story, because we all go through our struggles. We all go through, you know, the ups and downs of life. And you know how they say, you know, we fall down and we, you know, get back up, you know. And, you know, she definitely is the epitome of that in this story. And definitely talks about, you know, different different things in regards to, you know, abuse and all types of things. But you can go ahead and give them some synopsis about the different journey that you go through in this book, Ms. Kraft.
I actually laid it out there, and like you just said, it's actually for all. It's for men and women, the younger generation. You know, I was involved with a drug kingpin at the time, where I didn't know what the meaning of the word actually meant. I didn't know what kingpin was. I didn't know what any of that stuff was until one day I was sitting in the courtroom and listening to charges brought down on my children's father. So, you know, that drug dealer out there, I want them to see that what got me from underneath that relationship is that he had to go on a run from the FBI. So there's only two paths to that. So they need to look at that and say, you know what, yeah, I'm getting this money now, but do I want to have to leave my children? Do I want to have to leave my lifestyle? So it's something in that book for everyone. you know.
So and you know, the other thing, you know, with, you know, the action, you know, the absence of, you talk about the absence of your father and, you know, basically, you know, leaving your mother with, you know, being a single mother and then, you know, trying to raise you at the same time and trying to work extra hard to provide for the family. And you were actually talking about this party house in the book. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, my where I grew up, my mother was a single parent, and she actually ended up getting involved with the wrong people. I mean, she was friends to everyone, so the group of friends she ended up with, they did drugs. So on weekends, that was the party house. They do drugs and drink beer and watch movies and stuff. But that was something that was, I was very fortunate that when I seen the after effects of all of it, it made me not even want to smoke cigarettes, you know. Being raised by a single mother, it was a good thing because I looked at her. And my mother, although she did drugs and, you know, people think, you know, might say that she's a bad parent, she actually wasn't. She did the best, you know, and tried to give me the best of everything. And honestly, I really wasn't, I was around that stuff and I grew up around that stuff, but I didn't do it. I didn't mimic it and I didn't have to go out there and do it. Even my aunts and, you know, that had husbands, they had to raise their kids as single parents because you got these men that are there, but you don't just need a body; you need helpers.
And that's definitely the truth when it comes to that. I mean, we all deal, especially us as women. We know we deal with these deadbeats and stuff like that, and you know we deal with men that are, you know, that we think are the men of our lives, not really knowing, you know, the situation they don't put us in, and basically, you know, we're left out here to take care of us, you know, while they...
No, and it's men, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah,
it's single men out here, single fathers and stuff, you know, and the saddest part is that I knew my father, but my father wasn't in my life. The only memories I ever had of my father was coming by every once in a while and giving me cash. He'll give me $25, $50, and then I'll see him the next time. That's the only memory I had of him growing up. You know, or when I went to even visit him, he wasn't even around. He would leave me with his wife. You know, so I didn't feel love from my dad. And for a long time, as I grew up and as an adult, I didn't even acknowledge him. You know, like I couldn't call him father. I couldn't call him dad. I would just wait for him to, you know, I'll get his attention and then start talking to him. You know, because I didn't have that bond. I didn't feel that love, and that's terrible. You know.
Yeah, and I can definitely understand that, and you know, men, like I said, men and women can relate to this book. And did you find yourself kind of like, you know, with your experiences with men, because you talk about, you know, dealing with the kingpin that was your baby father, and dealing with a deadbeat husband, and then having to raise the children, you know, all four of your children by yourself, like with your encounters. That void of not feeling that love from your father, did you find yourself kind of trying to search that or replace that at that moment, at that time in your life?
I think you're right, and I did at one point. At one point, I think it was just an approval process. Like, I just wanted somebody to be there and be happy. My thing was I wanted everyone around me to be happy, which is where I got into my financial problems when I tried to give everyone money. Like, you can come near me and say, you know what, I want that Rolex watch. Because I knew you wanted that watch and I had the money, I bought it, you know. And I think it kind of stemmed from not having that affection and not know, you know, just being so, to where when I got around people, I just wanted everyone to have, even, you know, have what I had.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, in your book you talk about, you know, at a point where you were, you know, driving expensive cars, earning more money in a month, you know, than most people earn in a year. And, you know, but, you know, you were making that much money, but you know how, like, some of us, we get so much money, you know, sometimes it goes fast. So even, you know, with making that much money, you talk about, you know, your bad decisions that you made, you know, that kind of crossed your own personal bankruptcy and stuff like that, you know, because sometimes we do, you know, find sometimes as being that nurturer, because which women are natural nurturers, or sometimes we feel like we just want to help the world sometimes. And we end up setting ourselves and getting the short end of the stick and things like that.
Yeah, what happened was I didn't have people. When growing up, we had, like, the store owner that was the credit man. Like, you can go to the furniture store and do a handshake, and you got credit. And he'll just come by every week, and you'll pay him or you go by the store. We didn't deal with credit. None of my family did with credit. They wouldn't apply for credit. They didn't know. I mean, they were literally ghosts with credit. So when I got money, I was never taught to, you know what, go buy you some assets. Go buy a house. Go buy, you know, stuff that's going to gain value. I went and bought everything that lost value. I bought an $80,000 BMW. I bought a $40,000 truck. You know, I bought everything that depreciated. Nothing gave me value. You know, I just spent my money on the wrong thing because I didn't know. I was never taught that. Yes, I knew how to run a dealership. Yes, I knew how to manage someone else's money. I managed millions of dollars of credit line, but I didn't know how to say no to people when it came to myself. So I ended up giving away most of my money and giving myself into a jam. You know, I wanted to take my kids to Disney World one year, and it was some of my cousins that I knew their parents was on welfare. I was like, you know, they'll never get a chance to go. Come on, let's go. By the time we got to Disney World, I had 13 kids with me. You know, that's just how much I did because I kept saying, okay, you know, their mother would never get a chance to take them. I don't want them to be left out. I want them to experience it. And I ended up taking 13 kids.
Wow. You know what? You have a big heart, Miss Kraft, and God is going to continue to bless you and stuff, you know. And, you know, sometimes we do things in life, but you know what? You know, sometimes God takes it from him, and then he gives us back, you know, plenty at the end. And at the end of the day, you're going to be blessed for all those contributions you did to help other people in their lives, and you're going to get blessed more. And I know you're actually going to open up people's views and minds when they actually get a chance to, you know, check out this wonderful book that you have to offer the world. And let's also talk about, you know, you received a lot of awards and recognitions for your business accomplishment, you know, but, you know, you were still going through, you know, ups and downs of your own life and situations. Like, I think the way my synopsis is, you know, you were real functional, right, in your everyday job life, right? And everybody just saw you smiling, and you were always a caring and loving person, but they really didn't know you had that mask for the world to see, but inside you were suffering and going through different situations at home with children, with relationships, and just, you know, trying to, you know, balance out your life and things like that.
Yeah, people saw what I had, and everybody wanted what I had. But I always told people, you know, anyone says, I want to be like you, no. Unless you walk the same path that I walk, don't ever say that. You know, no one knew that me and my kids lived in a hotel for 30 days when I moved here to Maryland, you know, because that same relative that asked us to move here put us out, you know, and knew we didn't have anywhere to go because he asked us to move here. So no one ever knew what we were going through. They didn't know that it was a point in time where I didn't know where we were going to live. My credit was bad, so it's not like I can go get us a place. I had money at that time because I was making probably about $10,000 a month, but I just didn't know where to go. You know, so no one really knows what you're going through. They just see the end effect. Even when I received the award, I received an award from the National Congress of Black Women and a certificate from the Senate. You know, I was sitting there and I was like, you know, do I really need to get this award? Maybe they should be giving this award to someone else. You know, I started second-guessing myself. But the glory is not for me. The glory is for God because, you know, he's using me. He's using a single mother with four kids that I never walked across the stage in my graduation. I never graduated high school, you know. But yet I said, okay, I'm going to make sure that my kids do different. My daughter just graduated college, and I have another one running track in college. They're the first in my family to go to college. My generation now to my family, we broke all the curses of welfare. None of us is on welfare. Everyone is working. You know, comes a time where we have to go into a new season, you know. And we didn't need to go back into the old ways of, yeah, I could have said, I'm 18 years old, I'm pregnant at 17, I'm just going to be on welfare. I'm going to sit here and collect my check. I could have did that because that's what was expected of me. But, you know, that wasn't what was on my heart. I wanted to be the one to do different. You know, no one would have said anything if I was sitting home collecting checks. No one. Because that was what you do. When your kids go to school, you have another baby. You get more checks, more welfare checks. That was the life we had expected, you know, everyone expected. So when I received these awards, I told my entire family, all the women, I said, you know what, come with me to this award, because this is not just for me. This is for you guys, too. This is for our family stepping into a whole new season. You know, we broke all those curses. We're not living the way we used to.
Definitely. And that's the truth. And callers, we're going to open up the lines for the callers in a few seconds to ask Ms. Craft a couple of questions and things like that. And we're also going to be talking about the last part, the second half of 48 Laws of Power, if you're just joining us tonight on Street Queens, the movement. And also we're going to open up the lines for the rest of our queens. Even though you were making so much money, eventually you came to a point where you actually lost your job, and you say you were, you know, staying with the hotel and everything, you know, and you were also facing dealing with illness with your oldest daughter. And you want to elaborate on that a little bit, Ms. Craft?
Yeah, my when I lived in the hotel, that was when I first moved to Maryland. But later on, recently, my daughter was battling an illness. I think it was in 08. And the saddest part is we didn't know what it was, you know, and for a while she was dealing with it where she thought she was crazy. She thought it was just in her mind, because every time we went to the hospital, they couldn't tell her what was wrong. You know, I'll come from work. I'll be at work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m, and then we'll be sitting up in the hospital until 7 o'clock the next morning, where we're sleeping in the truck, you know, waiting for the hospital, going in and out. Honestly, I think they still really don't know what's wrong, but they're going to put a name to it, you know. So it was rough because she was in pain. You sit there and you watch your child, which she can't move. You know, she couldn't walk up the steps in the house. You know, she was always cold, and she was getting, you know, to the point where she was just, you know, when she looks at me and she asks me, "Mom, why is God doing this to me?" What do you say to your child? You know, the only thing I can tell her is, you know what, I wish he would have put it on me, but he's not going to put more on you than you can bear. You know, I kept telling her this is going to be your testimony, and it was really rough. And at that time, you know, things were going okay, but every time it would go okay, she would get pushed back because she had a job. She was a medical assistant. You know, it was at that time she had to get, you know, off of work for almost a year. You know, so it was like losing hope, don't know which way to go, and it was rough. You know, and as far as the job time, it comes to a point where you have to, there's an integrity that you have to keep. You know, I didn't go from being a file clerk to a general manager running a dealership by sleeping with people. I did it by working. So when it came to the point where I see people were trying to use people and basically lie to them and deceive them, I was not going to do it. And we clashed, and pretty much it was time for, you know, somebody to go, but the owner wasn't going to go, so that was going to be me.
Yeah.
You know, I was just going to stand for, I was just going to take my stance. You know, he's not going to go and be judged for what I'm doing. I'm going to be judged for what I'm doing.
Definitely, and that's the truth. And the last thing I want to touch on, once you get the callers and stuff, I know you're going to read at least the first chapter, like not even close to like the second, 2 pages or so, or maybe the first page of the story a little bit. Just to,
I don't have a book in front of me.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll definitely, once we get the book, we'll do another reading and stuff, you know, bringing you back on the touch bases on it and stuff like that, and giving us updates.
Yeah, I would love that. That would be great.
Yeah, definitely. The other last point I want to touch on is that, you know, we deal with, you know, verbal abuse, financial abuse, and physical abuse. But in the book you talk about a man of God that I guess is a man of God that either you were in a relationship with or that you married or so. And, you know, he actually kind of like abused your trust in order for his own financial gain, which a lot of us women sometimes find that, or even men find that, people abusing them for their financial gain and things like that. And it kind of put you in a situation where you felt like you had to leave your church home and find a new path. Tell us about that.
You know, I went to church every week, and I sat there right on the second row, and I would see people go up to the altar where they had to be delivered and healed because someone had abused their trust and they had to leave another church. And, you know, once a church does that, it's hard for someone to trust again. This individual actually ended up being my pastor. And I wasn't in a relationship with him, but my position in with the dealership and my resources and my connections, you know, it allowed me to do a lot for the church. And I was okay with that because I like to do for the church because they're helping people. But, at, you know, at a point in time, and you'll see it in the book, that it went from helping the church to him. He decided he wants a record deal. You know, I got connections with the radio station. I'm sponsoring the radio station. He wants me to see if I can get him on the show to be have his own show. You know, if you say, you know, let's do this for the church or let's do this for somebody else, why are you doing it for them? He made it to the point where he didn't want anyone calling me to ask me for anything, and he told me, if I'm not the one asking you, if anybody else asks you, you say no. Come on. I'm doing for the entire church. How are you going to tell me? You know, and it got to the point where it was, to me, he had a spirit of, it's all about me. What can you do for me? And it became overwhelming because it was just like, it made me feel like I don't want to do now. I don't want to give. It took me out of that giving spirit that I don't want to now because it's like, if I can't do anything for you, then what? You don't want to, you know, you're going to move on to the next person? And, you know, I didn't want to talk about that, but as I kept talking to my girlfriend, she was like, Shanice, you have to, because when you get pastors like that, there are some very good pastors. But when you get those bad seeds, they can call someone their salvation. They will call somebody to leave the church because this is what we deal with in the street. Why are we dealing with it in the church? You know, and they will call somebody to leave that church. Now, me, if I really wasn't in love with God, I would have left that church, and, you know, I could have went back to doing whatever. But what I did is I went into my Bible, and that's what God had for me. You know, it was sometimes you just got to talk to God yourself. You don't need to have everyone praying for you. You don't need to have everyone trying to touch and agree with you. It's points where we need to know how to do these things ourselves. And, you know, I didn't look at things that way. I would allow him to do that. If I needed something, I was like, hey, you know what? I need this. I need that. And I kind of opened myself up to taking him out of, letting him get himself out of a pastor role and into my life where parts, it was none of his business, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know,
sometimes
situations like that happen. And I wish you had joined us on our show when we did the Holy Hustle. We called it the Holy. I wish you was on the show. We did the Holy Hustle, and we kind of touched on different bases. Like, you know, some people use, you know, spirituality as their religion, as their own financial gain, and things like that. So we kind of talked about it. I wish we was on the show and stuff. But I'm gonna go ahead and open up the lines for our callers on the line, so they can ask you a couple questions. Okay, callers right now, you're live with Miss Kraft. She has a wonderful book talking about her life, the ups and downs she went through. It's called The Harsh Reality and Impossible Dream, and I think men and women can relate to this book. Everybody's been through their time when they've been homeless or gone through situations. You know, people that you trust disappoint you, deadbeat fathers, you know, going through obstacles, trying to work out situations, father not dead, different situations, but through all in all, God or that higher power and your determination takes you out of that situation, and you made it, and she is the epiphany of that. So callers, call in. The 10th caller will receive a free book personalized by Miss Kraft. Caller from the 267, peace.
Peace, queen. Peace, queen.
Peace. Is this Emma of E2K Magazine, the sexy Emma E2K Magazine, my street queen panelist with us?
Yes, ma'am. It is I. I'm calling you Emma. On the Batman line. I thought you didn't recognize the number.
I know. I was like, hold on. Emma, how you doing, man? Emma, you've heard Miss Kraft's story. How do you feel about it? You got a question to ask or anything like that, Emma?
I do have a question. I didn't know if your baby's father was your husband as well, or these were two different gentlemen.
These are two different gentlemen. My oldest kid's father went on a run from the FBI, so he actually ended up leaving the country, and then I got married.
Okay. I was a little confused on that part. But and that was the only question. The only other thing that I just, you know, just want to say is that God is good. He's good. He's great. And He puts us in other positions that we get into, good and bad, you know,
absolutely,
for the purpose of learning. And you have a great heart, and don't ever change that. Not for nothing, you know, not for nothing in the world. Even with this pastor situation that you passed through or whatever, I'm glad that you called them out. Everybody else needs to call out them, you know, them dirty pastors, because they do take salvation away from people, and that's wrong.
They
you
do.
Know?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
and I, like I said, I really didn't want to write that because I didn't want to make it put a bad stigma on all churches. But
mm-hmm.
I had to, because before I left, it was a whole lot more that left before me, and I knew that, you know. And I was
wow.
like, you know what, if I don't say it, if I don't say something, then people might leave the church and never, ever go back to a church. And that's what I didn't want to happen. Because
no, well,
it's not
I'm
all
glad
pastors
you did because,
are the same way.
Because you taught your children, now you taught your children how things are supposed to be. See, we always tell our kids, oh, you should always tell when things are wrong, and this and this and that, and then we're the first one to be like, oh, sweep it on the rug. No, don't say nothing. Shh, shh, let's keep it quiet. Shh, shh. So we confuse our children. Either you're telling me to say this or you're telling me to shut up. Like, which one? Like, you know? So
right.
I think you definitely took a proper stand, and not only your children, but everybody else that you know, that looks at what you're doing can definitely respect that. You know, can definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely respect that, and I just heard your story right now.
I appreciate that because, like I said, writing it and telling all of my life, I told the good and the bad. So I just opened myself up to the world, you know, and it's going to be people with negative remarks. It's going to be people I've received a lot of positive feedback. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't about me. It was about the story, you know, and it was about letting people know that have gone through the same thing I've gone through. And women that haven't, like it's a part in the book where I'm telling my kids, you don't have to settle for a man. You don't have to you don't have to be his sidekick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling people that, and that's what I want people to know. And the reason why I wrote that and I told it is because I wanted to teach that to my kids, to my daughters. I have daughters, you know, and I wanted
mm.
to let them know that.
Right.
Definitely.
Right.
And, guys, if you're joining us right now, you're live with Street Queens, the movement. And, you know, we always talk about positive people doing positive things and community issues. Tonight, we have the beautiful Miss Craft live on the show with us. And she's a wonderful author that talks about her whole life story, ups and downs, you know, dealing with a kingpin, you know, dealing with him and dealing with, you know, ups and downs of, you know, relationships and, you know, losing her job, dealing with four children and doing all of this stuff and kind of being abused by somebody that's supposed to be a spiritual guider and, you know,
right.
dealing with all of that situation and being able to rise from that. And telling a story which a lot of men and women can relate to. And the title of the book is called Harsh Reality, an Impossible Dream. And a lot of us have gone through an impossible dream, and we thought we weren't going to make it. But God makes a way when there's no way. And don't forget, we're going to go into part two of the 48 Laws of Power. And if you need a transcript, make sure you email me at CEOLessRadioOnline@gmail.com. Only $2 tonight to join us in our discussion. I'm going to open up the line again. I think we got our wonderful Street King live in the building. Genius, you got a question for the beautiful Miss Craft.
Well, first, I want to commend the queen. You know, I listened in, and to hear that story, I think that's very powerful, and I commend you for enduring all of those things, you know. It's a blessing to endure anything like that, any hardship that, you know, we endure in life, and then to also be able to spread that, you know, to possibly help someone from actually having to go through that and endure that as well, you know.
Right.
And as well, I can also say there are good men out here, you know, and there
Absolutely.
Are good fathers. I represent one of them, so,
Absolutely.
You know, there are good men out here. Unfortunately, the bad outweigh us, but, you know, there are some out here. But, you know, it's not more or less a question. It's more so just commending you for, you know, having the courage to endure that and to send that message, especially to the young women and men that are out here. You know, my only question would actually be is, I mean, like, that's a very tough thing to go through. You know, there had to be, you know, what type of support group did you actually have to actually help you through that situation?
I had family support. I couldn't get financial support because I was the person that made all the money. I made more money than everyone else. So their way of living and my way of living was completely different. So they couldn't, like, let's just say, for instance, maybe my monthly bills going out could have been 10 grand. You know, that wasn't something that, not that they didn't want to help me with, but they couldn't.
Definitely. Definitely. And if you're just joining us, like I said, the Tim caller will receive a personalized book from Ms. Pratt on the show. And call in at 347-826-7722. Just to guys let you know where the different people are calling from, we have MFE2K, Street Queen, one of our vets. She's calling from the Philadelphia area, but originally from New York. And we also have our boy Genius calling from the DMV area, but originally from New York. And we got another caller from the New York area, 347. Peace. What's your name and where you calling from? Do you have a question for Ms. Pratt?
Peace, Queen. What's going on? It's your boy Swag.
Swag. What's up?
What up, King?
Peace, King.
How's everybody doing this evening?
Blessed.
Great. Thank you.
Great.
That's positive.
Great.
I've been listening in, and you know, I'm very excited to read this book.
I appreciate that. And like I said, it's for all. It's not just about single mothers. It's about single parents. You know, it's men out here that's raising these kids, and they go through the same thing. They got the gold diggers. They got women that are trying to use them. So it's not, I don't want people to think it's a female book. It's a book for all.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, even if it is, even if it receives the title of a female book, or if it's categorized that way, you know, that's still something I would be interested in reading because, you know, all of these different things are, you know, in some way, whether it's directly or indirectly, it's relevant to us. So I'm very excited to open those pages. But I had a question for you. I wanted to know who was responsible for the publishing of the book.
I self-published my book. I did it myself.
Okay. So you did. So you're the editor and publisher.
Absolutely. I sat here and did it myself. That's
what
I said. It's not like I said I wasn't so inspired to do a book. It's just that everyone that I spoke to, like I was always asked to come out and speak to people. Like I'd help St. Jude's Radiothon to raise money for the hospital. I spoke to women in domestic violence situations. You know, I spoke to single mothers that had AIDS. So every time I would go out to just talk to people, they would always say, hey, can you come to a book signing? I'm like, book signing? I don't have a book. You know, what are you talking about? So I was kind of like pushed into doing a book.
Right. No, I definitely take my hat off to you, you know, most certainly. And, you know, because I actually work for a publishing company. So, you know, I'm constantly around, you know, editors, senior editors, publishers, and, you know, books that are just being written and put out there. So I definitely make note to take, you know, definitely get a copy of the book. And
you can actually go to barnesandnobles.com. It's on Amazon, but I send people to Barnes right now because they're cheaper until Amazon finished their site. You can go to Barnes & Noble, and it's $15 on barnesandnoble.com.
Okay, we have a special discount with Barnes & Noble as well.
Yeah, go to them, and you can get the book there. They're waiting to get it in the stores, but like they said, if someone comes in and it's not in stock, they'll order it for them and send it to their house.
Do you know the ISBN number of the book by any chance offhand?
The ISBN?
Yes.
Let me look at my email.
Yeah, because I look it up through that
way,
I'll probably get it cheaper. What's going on, though, with the rest of the family? How y'all doing?
What's going on,
man? Everybody's blessed, man. You know what I'm saying? We can't. Once we finish this, you know. You know how it is with that 48 Laws of Five about to be recorded.
We're blessed. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's 978-161-658-8120.
That's what it is. We got another caller from the 917 New York. What's up? What's your name, 917?
A blast from the past. Hello.
Oh, it's me. Super five.
I'm just loving my New York family calling in.
Super size.
Hi, my street queens. How are you?
Peace, queen.
How you doing?
Peace, queen.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm just listening and digesting because I'm calling to hear some messages. I'm a single parent and I'm a struggling activist and I'm just trying to live right out here and be right. And I salute you, Shanice.
Thank you.
I salute you because I know it takes lots of determination, focus, and of course a whole lot of faith and just to accomplish the feat of writing a book, not to mention all the other things you've done, because I took a look at your website, and you wear many hats, and you have
yes.
four children. And,
yes, I
and,
do.
And I can't even imagine
four daughters.
Four children
yes, four
and
daughters.
Doing all you do. But, you know,
yeah.
that's how a lot of women do, but you really, it seems like you've come a long way, and I'm excited to get the book. So I'm trying to find out, you know I'm grimy. Am I one of the 10 callers?
No. No, you're not. You know what? Even if you're a 10th caller, you should still buy it and bless someone else. Right?
That's right. That's right.
Hey, how are you going to do me like that after I just saluted you?
But you're my New York family. Come on now. We got to lead a hustle somewhere. Come on. I'm from New York. We always got that hustle. Like, what can I, let me see the hookup. Come on, this ain't Brother Man. This is Brother
I'm
Man.
Saying, I'm saying
can
though,
I get the homeboy? She want to get the homegirl
the homeboy
discount.
So, you know, that's like, you know I want the homegirl and, you know, Miss Supersized Satisfied Dedication and, shoot, because once I read and I spread the word, I get supersized. Come on.
That's right. Look, don't go with no bum man from the fourth floor either. Just go get the book and support.
All right. All jokes aside, I'm going to support even though I ain't calling number 10.
Right. I appreciate that. You can actually just get it from barnesandnoble.com. It's on there now. And like I said, it's $15 on there. Or if you want to go into the store, they'll order it and send it to your house.
Oh, so I don't even got to leave my house. That sounds good.
Nope, you can order it right now. The link is right on my website.
It sounds more expensive, so I think I'll take a walk.
What is your website?
It's ShaniceCraft.com, S-H-A-N-I-S-E.
S-E-C-R-A-F-T?
Yes, .com. Or if you go to Barnes & Noble, just type in my name, Shanice Craft, and it comes right up.
Okay. Well, I'm in Barnes and Noble here, so all right.
How does that feel to say if you go to Barnes and Noble? I mean, you know,
it's weird because the see a book. I was writing this book for people, and I was thinking more like right here, this DMV area. But I mean, right now it's like it's everywhere. It's all over the world. You know, I got people in Germany reading it, London. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I know it's. I mean, the way it spread. The book just got released Tuesday. The way it spread is nothing but God, you know.
Absolutely. Amen.
That's all it is. And what it is, too, if you got the universal message and, you know, if there's a message that we need to hear, you know, because we all know when we see the truth, we recognize it, whether we read it, we see it, we hear it, we know what is the truth and our spirit, you know, gravitates
absolutely.
For that. That's why, you know, when I saw the bus, I was thinking, you know, it's true, and then I heard you were speaking. You know, I was on the line for a while. I think I was number 10, but I just didn't say nothing. Anyway, when I heard you, I'm going to keep going there. When I heard you saying that you called someone out, you know, a pastor, a man of the cloth, I don't know exactly the gist of it, but I do know that when I was a child, I was molested by a man of the cloth, but not of the Christian religion, but
right.
of another religion. And I didn't call that person out. I didn't say anything. So,
You're not alone.
I know that. But when I heard you say that, I said, yo, she put it in a book. Like she, you know, you went there. But that's what has to be done because we're kind of taught to, like, keep those things quiet because people might look at you funny or people might not take your word against that person's word.
Absolutely.
So you know, the fact that you even did, salute for that as well, because that's, you know, that's all part of your healing process. When you don't speak on it, then you got to live with that thought, you know, did this person do this or utilize someone else this way or hurt someone else this way or you know, blasphemy against the cloth, against the religion this way. So, you know, I salute you for all those things, and I still think I was one of the callers.
Would you stop it? Let me just say something and to take her away from
goodness.
That. Let me just take you off of that 10th caller thing. I actually had so many, because I was so involved in the church, like literally involved, I had people, members of the church, and because I just disappeared one day, and I never went back. And I had people mm-hmm. calling me like, Shanice, what is going on? Where are you? But I never told them anything. I never badmouthed him. I never said, this is why I'm leaving. I never said anything. And it was so funny because people started saying, you know what, I know it's him because a lot of people down left this church. And I'm like, what? So I'm not the first one. I wasn't the first one that he did it to. He uses you and uses you until he can't get any more, you know? So I didn't want to tell him, but I ended up doing it.
Sounded like a lot of people who follow the other, you know, there's a fine line between that you know, those spiritual, quote unquote, holy people and
right.
and the ways of the devil.
Right.
A lot of times you'll find those people sitting in the pews, their hearts are more blacker than the brother sitting on the stoop.
Yeah, well, we got to know. What we got to realize is Satan is a fallen angel, so he was in a choir. Satan and everybody that's following him knows the Bible just as good as we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they will quote some scriptures to you and reel you in because you're thinking because they're quoting scriptures, oh, that's God and that's those are Christians
yes,
and that's the Bible.
Well,
but they know the Bible yeah. just as well as we do.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. And
who that right there, humming? Come on now. Y'all get ready to take me to church?
And I want y'all to know I was calling number 8, but I was all quiet and stuff.
We not took her to church. You got to tell the truth.
Yeah, right. But Ms. Kraft, the other question I want to ask you was, are there any community, you know, things that you're involved in, you know, that you want to put out there to let the world know also?
Yes, right now I'm actually partnering with my children, my two oldest daughters. They started a foundation called WAGGY Mentoring, which is WAGGY Mentoring. And what they're doing is they're involved with the prison system, you know, because they started looking into how the juveniles were living and how they were treating the juveniles inside, and they just wanted to do a mentoring program. So they actually visit and mentor people that are in the juvenile system to try to show them. There's a bunch of them, and they do positive things. Some of them are in poetry. Like I said, some of the kids graduated college. They want to show them that once they do get back on the street, they don't have to keep turning backwards. So I'm fully behind that program, and it's called WAGGY Mentoring.
Wow. That definitely, you know, is a big interest. With Street Queens, the movement, we do a lot of community activities and stuff with the DJ Carl Blaze co-drive, the Chris Kringle, the Give Thanks Dinner, and different things that we do. And we also give money to children that you know, going through like prom and different things like that. We
right.
want to, you know, partner up with you and see how we can help in what you got going on over there, because that definitely strikes an interest. I know Emma and Lynx will be definitely want to be into something like that also, and all of our ladies, because we always try to help, you know, the next man or woman out there. So whatever. That's an offline, whatever we can do to help. And if people outside of us want to help, how can we get in contact to try to be involved with something like that?
They actually have a website, and it is called WAGGY Mentoring, or you can actually, well, the name will be on my website, but you can just contact them directly. Another thing they've started doing is they're trying to teach the kids how to work for themselves. My daughter, you know, she just graduated college, and she has her own fragrance line. So what we're trying to teach them to do is how to make money, you know, the right way. So we're trying to kind of train them. Yeah.
Entrepreneurship. That's
Absolutely.
Great because, you know, they took a lot of the – because I teach during the day. I deal with the special needs children, and even in the high school with the regular children, you know, they took a lot of the vocational schools away from the children. So they don't have the opportunity to sit there and try to – And the way that the system is created is like you go to school, you work for somebody else, not go to school, work for a cause so you can invest and create your own business, you know. And that's what I believe in every single day is, you know, we need to teach our children that, you know, you don't have to always be the employee. You can be the employer.
Right.
So right. And you can create jobs out there. So I definitely commend you and your daughter for creating a situation like that because
I got to give them all I got to give them all that credit. They decided to come up with doing something like that on their own. And I was so appreciative. I was like, you know what?
Yeah, but it took a good role model to be able to put them in that path. So you still got to get credit.
Yeah, got to give credit where credit's due. The mother, you know, it all stems from the mother, you know. You are the child bearer. You are the guider, and you're in charge of their soul. So you created that heart right there, that person. So, you know, that's an excellent job. I'm definitely proud of everything that you're doing. And I'm proud of your children.
I bought the book. I got my order number, my receipt right here, and I have free shipping. That's how many books I'd be buying. Free shipping.
Wow, that's great. And I'll be up in New York soon, so I'll be doing. We're putting together some book signings now, so
oh, great.
I'll be up there.
Yeah.
And I'll
definitely let us know
you.
So we can spread the word.
Well,
yeah, because I'm going with my book right there.
Well, definitely let us know so we can kind of like, you know, do a media conference and stuff, and you know, let the people know that we have in contact in New York to definitely, you know, check you out. You got to let us know when you're doing that.
I sure will.
So definitely got to get that popping. And besides that, you know, give the website once again to the people. If you're on my Facebook, you'll see her website on my Facebook. You can click it directly. But she's going to give it to you, and she's also going to give you her Twitter. So put that out there for them, Ms. Crabb.
Everything is Shanice Crabb. It's S-H-A. N-I-S-E, Craft, C-R-A-F-T. You can find me on Twitter at Shanice Craft, capital S with Twitter and a capital C, but it's at Shanice Craft. My Facebook, I kind of went over the limit, so I had to create a second page, but you can still go to Shanice Craft, and I'll link you over to the other page. The website is ShaniceCraft.com, and if you want to go directly to Barnes & Noble's, it's Barnes & Noble. .com and just punch in Shanice Craft, the author, and it'll come right up. Or if you're on my website, on my Facebook page, you'll see the link that takes you straight to Barnes & Noble.
Definitely. And, is there any, you know, any shout-outs, anybody you want to shout-out, or you got any other things that we need to look out later on in the future, some things, some future ventures that we need to check out and look for coming from you?
Yeah, I definitely have to shout out my Uncle Gianni. You know, he's been the one that's been hitting the street for me getting this book out because, like I said, I was so closed in for so many months just putting it together. I kind of went brain dead. So he's like, come on, now we got to get it out there. So he's been hitting the pavement, and that's Gianni Thompson. He's on Facebook as well. A lot of stuff I have coming up, we're putting together a lot of interviews for me to be appear on a lot of shows. And once I get the interviews done, then I want to get into the community again and start doing stuff with people. So even if you know an organization that you want me to come up, you know, be a speaker at or anything like that, just contact me on my website.
Oh, yeah, we definitely have things coming up, yeah.
Definitely, we're going to have we're actually gearing towards to have a women's conference for Street Queens, the movement. It's going to be our annual thing. Emma just organized the one for the teens that they went into the school to talk about issues and stuff like that. So we definitely we're working on a women's conference. So we would definitely like you to come in and be a speaker and be on the panel. And honestly, you know, if you do have time on Thursday, it would be great if you know you could be a guest panelist when you have time. You know, when you get a chance.
All you have to do is send me the email. All you got to do is send me the email, and I'll let you know what I'm pretty sure I'm going to have time. Just send me an email, let me know when you need me, and I'm there.
That's what
I can make my schedule. I'll let people, you know, I'll know when I'm doing an interview or when I'm doing something. So just let me know when you need me, and I can rearrange some things. Because I'm going to tell you what, this crowd is fun. your listeners
oh, girl,
got me cracking up. I got Brother Man on the phone.
You ain't heard nothing yet. You got to be calling in. You ain't heard nothing yet, right, Genius? Let her know.
Yes,
how we get down up in here.
Oh, my goodness. I know, my goodness.
Swag is really, like, low today, but Swag is usually the most hyper one here. I don't know what's going on back there, Swag.
Maybe they're taking it easy with me.
Yeah, he's usually the one of the energy juice. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
he got the
Swag.
What happened?
Like, he don't want to scare me off. He want me to come back. That's all.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, he being nice. He being nice.
Yeah, we been calm. We been calm tonight. But, you know, when we get into this 48 laws of power,
oh,
we're going to be.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he's saving the energy for. Okay, I got it.
Well, I'm staying on because I want to listen. I'm here.
Yes,
I'm listening
stay
on.
With him. Yes, stay on. Yes. Definitely.
Y'all ain't getting rid of me that quick.
Good. Rock out with us.
Definitely. And I just want to say that, you know, my final thoughts with you is that I'm really proud of everything that you're doing, Ms. Craft. And shout out to G-Money, Gianni, a.k.a. G-Money, in the streets. Y'all know him. He actually was on the show not too long ago when we had Keys and Young Stacks on the show with us. Shout out to G-Money. Definitely a good dude. You know, I just want to say I'm proud of you, Queen. I salute you. Keep doing what you're doing. You are blessed. Keep doing what you do, and, you know, let Street Queens of Movement be your home anytime. You know, we salute you. Definitely.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I'm taking you up on that.
Yes. We're the truth over here. We're the truth.
And that's what you need. You need somebody that's going to keep it real. I don't want nobody to look at me and, you know, be stuffy. This is my life. I don't put it out there, so you already know my bads and my goods. You know, I'm not going to sit there and act like everything's fine, so just don't judge me. Just try and get a blessing from it.
Absolutely. That's definitely what we do here. We try to get a blessing with everything that goes on, whether good or bad. We try to find, you know, we go into it and we dissect it. We think we doctors over here. You know, we be dissecting stuff. Right, genius? Genius, don't think I don't be knowing about you.
Look, they definitely keep it real. I know you got to keep it real because you went from being a 10th caller to the 8th, so you keep it real.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Emma,
your final thoughts with Ms. Craft, and then we can move on to Genius and Swag.
Well, they're not gonna be final thoughts because we just got stuck with another queen, and I feel so blessed that she's just down with us, and we down with her, and we just down for everything that's positive. You know, we support everything that goes on that's positive. We support people that really, really want to see a lot of good things happening. So, you know, we feeding off your energy, you feeding off ours. So we already a family. I don't got no final thoughts. I'll just see you next Thursday. Let's keep going.
That's right. I'll be on the panel next Thursday. You need me for next Thursday?
Yes.
All right. I don't mark it down. I'm here next Thursday on the panel.
Okay, now 8 to 10. So
okay,
be busy
cool.
Nowhere. You be. If they come to interview, you be like, I can't. I got to be in the street.
No. Once I mark it down, I'm be like, oh, I can't do it right here.
That's right. Okay, let's go. All right, so let's keep going. Who else got no final thoughts? There's no final thoughts because she's in here like swimwear, so that's it.
Definitely. And like I said, man, if you're just joining us right now, we're live on Street Queens, the Movement with the beautiful Ms. Craft. Shani, she has a beautiful book. It's called The Harsh Reality. And the Impossible Dream is an inspirational story about her life. And, you know, we just ended off with a wonderful interview with her. She's a wonderful, remarkable young lady. I want you guys to make sure that you log on to her website, www.ShaniceCraft.com. Make sure you check it out on Barnes & Noble. The book is available for purchase, $15. Make sure you support the book. Now we're going to switch gears, but we're going to go into some music real quick, and we're going to come right back. And make sure you get your pen and your pad, and make sure you get your anxiety and your eyes mixed up, because Swag and Genius about to go retarded right now, because we about to get some 48 laws of power.
Look, y'all don't shut him down. All he's doing is laughing. Y'all don't shut him down. He's just laughing.
Listen, you're going to know we got to get it in when we can, all right? Because they be leaving us in the dust. And this is a queen's show, all right? The kings respect that, and we respect them. But we got to get it in when we can.
Definitely. We're about to get into the 48 laws of power. Make sure you gear up and get ready. It's on and popping. If you want to get your transcripts of the 48 laws of power, if you don't have the book, we'll send it to you. It's $2. Email me at CEOLushRadioOnline@gmail.com. We did part one. If you want to check out part one, it's on archive, but we're going into part two. We left off at Law 16. So make sure you pull out your books. It's on and popping tonight. But we're going to go into you know, a song, because, you know, I think that, you know, Ms. Kraft is a wonderful woman, you know, and I definitely love everything that she's doing, and we salute her. And if you don't salute her, I might have to smack you up. You know what I'm saying? Go to your body, a little shop, shop. You know what I'm saying? Take to the streets,
right?
You know?
We cover all states, son. We cover all states. Y'all get a two piece somebody?
We going two piece them. Well, talk. But this song is always dedicated to all the beautiful women. You know, Maxwell. You know he's so sexy, Maxwell. Maxwell, touch me. But anyway, the woman's worth. Okay. Check this out, okay? And I think Genius kind of looked like him, but he's faking and everything, man. Genius hot. But we're going to check him out on Facebook. So we're going to go to the song, and we're going to be back on Street Queens the Movement. I had to put him on blast. We might be back in a second.
Wow.
Girl, you can call y'all. This is Nas, Jimmy Black.
Yo, you rocking with your man, TJ.
Yeah, this is your boy, Black Ice.
Your boy, Too Short.
Yeah, it's your man, Boss Hog.
This is your boy, Lisa.
Yo, this is John Legend. What's up, man? This your boy, Real C.
This is your man, TJ, brother, in the world, Indiana, triple platinum on thegirls.com. Triple three queens, the movement, you know how they do it. Holla, one.
Man, that's gonna sound like crazy, is that? I think I'm gonna sound better. That's gonna sound crazy.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, the movement.
That's what it is. You're now tuned in to Street Queens, the movement. And we're live right now, and we're on the show, and we're talking about the 48 laws of power. We just had Ms. Craft live in the building, you know. And we're definitely, you know, talking about, you know, the 48 laws of power. And you know what? I just realized that we're actually competing against tonight's game. Shout out to the Celtics. We really hope the Celtics win. You know, no hating on Kobe and everything, but shout out to the Celtics, man. I hope Boston wins. Word up. I really hope that it wins. And shout out to Street Queen Liz. The seventh set is actually in the chat room and everything. We're talking about the 48 laws of power tonight, so make sure you join us with us. If you want to get a transcript, if you don't have the book, it's $2. Email me at CEOLushRadioOnline@gmail.com. We left off on the 48 law powers, the power, actually the law, number 16. So we're going to go back to the line and open up the lines for all our beautiful people. I think we got a new caller, people. Emma, I know you live on the line with us, Emma. And Swag, are you there with us, Swag?
Yeah, you know I'm Swag, still there, of course.
Dang, who over there playing music and stuff? Somebody get a slow
down. I'm sorry, Lux.
I thought that was you.
I'm sorry, Lux. I'm sorry.
Freak me, baby. Oh, yes.
I apologize.
Swag, you on the line with us, Swag?
Yeah, Swag, you know I'm still here.
Come on with your swaggerless self, man. Stop playing games.
Number 16, Swag.
we got another caller from the 347. Is that the 77? What's good?
In the house. Hello.
What's up, Peace Queen? How you doing tonight? Peace.
I'm good. Just chillaxing, man. Laying back.
That's what it is, man. That's what it is, man. Everybody need to relax, man. That's one of our other street queens representing the New York area. We got another caller. I know we got Emma, but we got another caller from the 917. 917, what it do? What's your name and where you calling from, 917?
Hey, what's going on? This is Fresco D Star,
hey.
The Quiet Committee. Streets of Mine.
Y'all called in together. Oh, my God. What's up, Bertha? Look at that. Look who called in together.
They say the planets and the stars and the moons all align at some time, so I guess the time is now. But I definitely was on the line. I was on the line last week on listening to the 48 Laws of Power. I mean, that's definitely one of the books that I keep on the top shelf. On the top shelf, away from the other rubbish. So, you know, I spoke about Law 15, and couldn't miss the call this week to finish up the rest of the different laws. So, had to check
That's
in.
That's what it is. So we're going to start it off since Swag is actually the inspiration for this whole entire show about, the 48 Laws of Power. Swag, will you take it off for us and skyrocket it? Let's go to Law 16, Pippin.
Yeah, no question. Peace. So law number 16 is use assets to increase respect and honor. You know what I'm saying? And basically the synopsis says too much circulation makes the price go down. The more you are seen and heard from, the more common you appear. If you are already establishing a group, temporary withdrawal from it may make you more talked about, even more admired. You must learn when to leave. And create value through scarcity. And it's interesting that this particular law came up and that you chose me. This is probably my favorite law because, you know, it deals with, you know, this is something that me and Emma build about a lot. It deals with value. You know what I'm saying? That the system of values is very important. And if a person does not feel valued, then, you know, then that's going to create some type of vibration, you know, some vibration that's going to cause dissatisfaction. you know, in a relationship. So whatever that relationship is, whether it's work or personal or whatever. So, I mean, this is a law that, you know, I like to touch on, but I want to hear what everyone else has to say, if anyone else has, or, you know, would like to talk about that. That particular law.
And people, when you guys are answering the questions and stuff, please remember to be respectable and one at a time. Let us not talk over each other. So if anybody wants to, you know, touch bases on Law 16, feel free to touch on it right now.
Me?
Anybody?
I guess Lauren Hill is the master of Law 16. I raise my hand. I'll go in.
Go ahead,
that's so true, you know. Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead, babe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, y'all, listen. I was on speaker, and then I went on the phone, so I just wanted to make sure. That is so true. Knowledge. I always say knowledge. Like swag. Like swag says, me and him built on this particular law a lot. With all this stuff that we go through, you know, in life and the industry, just and everything. But in relationships, but I'm gonna take industry. Let me use industry for example. I've noticed that I work in clubs. I do clubs or whatever. So you have your regulars. You have people that come in every week faithfully. You already know, okay, this person's coming at 11 o'clock. The other one's followed at 12. This bunch here from that neighborhood get here at 1:30. These people buy bottles. Like, you start learning already when they come in. You already know ahead of time what to expect from them because they become regulars. Now, those people that pop up once in a while, those are the people that get treated royalty because nobody sees them that much. So it's like, oh, you know, no, come right in. No. You know, they don't get online. They come right in. They get free bottles. They get free drinks. They get, you know, whatever the royal, they get the whole royal carpet. So it falls into that same law. The reason why, because, you know, they don't see that person so much. So it's that, you know, they want to catch as much moments as they can with that person because that person is not so available. As opposed to people that you could be like, you know what, I didn't catch him this week, but don't worry, just come next week. Come here at 11 o'clock. He'll be standing right here. You know, that type of attitude. So that anybody that's, of course, real busy and about their money and doing things is never going to be that available because they're always running around doing things. So when you catch them, you always got to, like, grab that moment. No, wait, let me talk to you or let me say this or let me, you know, whatever it is that you want to discuss with that person. You're so just happy to see that person because you don't see them often. Again, as opposed to, you know, somebody that you already know, I'll just catch up with them later. That's nothing. I always see them. So that's the value of increasing and decreasing.
Yeah, and I want to go ahead and ask the guest of honor, the beautiful Ms. Kraft, would you like to touch base on that, ma'am?
I am actually just listening in right now because this is powerful. I'm like, wow, I need to get that book that y'all talking about right now.
Like I said, if you want the transcripts just to read along with us, it's only $2. And,
okay.
You know, to read along with us, all you have to do is email me at CEOLessRadioOnline. I can send you the request right now and I can, you know, have it to you ASAP, you know.
Okay.
Go ahead and do that.
I'm going to put y'all down while I go get my my wallet. So go ahead and send me the request.
That's what it is. And we're live right now on Street Queens, the movement, talking about the 48 laws of power. Does anybody want to touch bases else on the situation, or can we move on to the next law?
I think that Law 16, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of applies to friendships as well. Like, if you hang around a group of friends often, right, you kind of have a sense of comfort within your group, right, which in turn will create, in some groups, like, I've seen it in like, male groups, they start to, you know, call each other out their names or, you know, joke around too much and things like that. Like, I think that when you're in a group of friends and you step away for a little while and you come back and you say what's up and you know, step away again or whatever, they have a better respect for you versus you being in the group all the time constantly. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that holds a lot of truth, even with family.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like if you're that person who
is always around everybody, you know, they can kind of joke too much or overstep their boundaries versus that person who comes around once in a while. Like, it seems like the person who steps away has a little more respect versus the person who's always in the scene.
Absolutely. And somebody, a wise person told me that, you know, the less accessible that you are, the more people respect the situation. Like, some people don't even know about their cell numbers. They basically tell you straight up, hit me up on my Twitter or email me. So it kind of gives them that persona, like, wow, like, who is this person, you know? And it makes you that curiosity, like, I got to get to know this person a little bit more, you know? And it's definitely
it.
Good.
That's it. From now on, everybody hit me on the Twitter. That's it. No more stuff. Hit me on the Twitter. Google me. That's my new shit. You Google me?
Oh, man. Fresco, yeah, I know you wanted to touch base on it, Fresco.
Yeah, one thing I like to add real quick, because I am on the road in between places right now, but a lot of people don't realize that inaccessibility leads to exclusivity. And a lot of times when you make yourself oversaturated, it kind of diminishes the value of your presence. And one of the things that I do professionally is I do a lot of consultations for different accounts, primarily like marketing consultation. And in the beginning, I always used to be easily and readily accessible at all times. And what I noticed is that I used to get calls, like several calls within one day for quick, nonsensical questions like, Oh, well, how can I do this? Or how can I do that? And what I noticed is that for me, it really took up a lot of my time to really focus and streamline the quality of the advice that I can give to a prospective client. So what I would tell clients is that, listen, what I suggest you do is, why don't you, instead of calling me, and very politely I'll say, instead of calling me every hour with a new question, why don't you just compile a nice report of questions. That way we can dedicate and focus an allotted amount of time to answer all your questions in the best detail that I can. So, again, I made myself a little inaccessible, but by doing that, I was able to give exclusive information and input on the inquiries that they had because they were able to build up their rapport. And on relationships, from a relationship standpoint, sometimes – when you are inaccessible to a certain degree, the people who do want your access do step further up to par just to definitely get not just your attention, but receive the value of just you being available. So remember, inaccessibility at times can lead to exclusivity, and everybody wants that exclusive treatment. So just keep going.
Definitely.
VIP.
I think you made a good point on that. We're going to move on to Law 17. Law 17, keep others in suspended terror. cultivate an air of unpredictability. Humans are creatures of habitat with insatiable need to see familiarities in other people's actions. Your predictability gives them a sense of control. Turn the tables. Be deliberately unpredictable. Behavior that seems to have no consistency or purpose will keep them off balance, and they will wear themselves out trying to explain your move. Taken to an extreme, this strategy can intimidate or terrorize. Let's speak on it, Pippin. Talk to me now. Who wants some test bases on that?
I think that's very, very essential. You know, you never want to really let left hand know what right is doing, because when you're predictable, then people know what they expect. And that also can apply with, you know, Rule 16, too, you know, with Law 16. I mean, you want to be unpredictable, because if people know your game plan, then they know your value. And, you know, you never really want somebody to know your total value. You want to keep things, you know, in your hands, not in the other person's hands. You know what I'm saying? And the only way you can do that by controlling, you know, how you are is by not letting people know everything that you do. You know what I'm saying? And to not do everything to set to their schedule. You know.
I just want to step in. You're right about what you're saying, King. I just want to step in into with the word consistency, though. You know, you have to be careful on that too. As far as business, I'm going to stay on the business topic.
Yeah.
Even relationship. Yeah, you don't want the right and the left to know what they're doing, but there has to always be a certain level of consistency. You can't just do that because not only, okay, I don't know what you're doing, but then that's going to cause me to, because I don't know what you're doing, I may not want to deal with you, business or personal.
Right.
You know, because if you take it a little too much with the acting crazy and I got to figure things out, I may not have the time for that and keep moving. So you may actually lose on that. So I think that's, it just, you know, you have to create a balance on that consistency stuff. I mean,
yeah, you definitely don't want to abuse it. If you're abusive as far as it, then it could be destructive towards you, you know. So you definitely don't want to abuse that. You definitely want to have consistency. But, you know, fresh things, you know what I'm saying, sometimes stepping away from the schedule is healthy. But like you said, you definitely don't want to abuse consistency because that's a necessity. You know, in any type of relationship, whether business or personal.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And I still got this giveaway at a 10th caller, and I don't know. I'm kind of swinging towards Fresco's way, being a 10th caller. But if one more person calls in, if no one calls in, then Fresco, you might have a chance of actually getting that book tonight. Fresco, from the press.
I'm about to call on the other line.
Wait a minute. My call doesn't count because I called in. I hung up on the other line, and I'm on my cell phone. No? Okay.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah, I think
bored.
I'm about to lose the signal and call back in.
I'm already bored. I'm not going to be greedy. I let somebody else win. I'm already bored.
I'm trying to apply Law 17, keep others in suspended terror.
Uh-huh. This case, huh?
Emma, you want to go into Law 18 for us?
I just put a candy in my mouth. Okay, hold on. Oh, my God. I'm really ghetto. Law 18. It was a caramel. Oh, you know, when you get into that flavor? All right, let me just.
Wow.
Right. I'm going to
beat you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait, my son is, I got to open the door. Wait.
That's Law 17 and a half.
Rock with me. Just to show you, this is reality radio. Show, can I not come in? Law 18. Whew, I am missed. Not to build fortresses to protect yourself. Isolation is dangerous. Okay. The world is dangerous, and enemies are everywhere. Everyone has to protect themselves. A fortress seems the safest, but isolation exposes you to more dangers than it protects you from. It cuts you off from valuable information. It makes you conspicuous and an easy target. Better to circulate among people, find allies, mingle. You are shielded from your enemies by the crowd. Ooh. All right, Pimpin, who's going in?
Definitely. I'll say this, from a military standpoint, that is very key, because when you actually hide yourself into a fort, you become a target. And you want to be among and free and able to move around, as opposed to being isolated in one spot. If you're isolated in one spot, then your enemies know where you are. You said what?
That was hot right there, man.
Yeah,
that was good.
You definitely don't want to sit isolated in one spot. You want to stay moving and keeping your enemy on their toes. And by moving into the crowd, it's hard for them to actually pinpoint you out as a target.
That's what it is. I want to hear what Swag got to say. Swag! Turn your swag on.
It's at 1 million right now.
I feel like you, Swag. Come on.
Wait, hold on for a second.
Talk to us.
Swag was putting us on hold like we don't got no life or something. Like, come on.
He said he said he's in between making deliveries.
No, because I
he's about to drop that $5 for us.
Nah, because you know what it is? I'm listening to the show and it's real loud. So when, you know, I put it on mute, you know what I mean? So anyway.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, I mean, I wanted to touch base on 16, 17, 18, but I'll just talk about 18 for now. The show. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely, whenever you.
Hello?
Yeah, my fault. So, like I was saying, you know, if you build, I can look at it from the perspective of playing chess. When you build a fortress around you, it kind of like that fortress can come tumbling down on you. So it's always good to have accessibility to be able to move around and to be mobile, you know, and you have to be mobile in your thoughts as well. So, you know, this is definitely a very important law. All of these laws are important, you know. But another thing I wanted to say, too, Lush, was we also have to touch base on the fact that some of these laws have reversals. So, you know, people going in hard like, yo, I'm going to crush my enemy totally. And it's like, slow down for a second and stop and think for a minute. You know, some of these laws have reversals, and you need to get the understanding of the law before you attempt to apply it, you know?
Uh-huh.
I just want to touch base on that as well.
You know what? I want to hear what you had to say about 17 and 16 real quick.
Yeah, what I was going to say about 16, what 16 and 17, just to summarize, is that you got to be careful with these laws, like Emma was saying, especially when you're dealing with a relationship. You know, because when you deal with a relationship, you know, and you try to cultivate an air of unpredictability, that can actually work against you. So, you know, you have to also be logical. You can't just be, applying these laws or attempting to apply these laws and not understanding what may come out of that as a result. So you have to think things through. You know, your mother tells you something or you learn something from college or school, you know, you apply that, but you also have to be aware of the fact that, you know, some of these things, some of that wisdom or some of that knowledge may actually be outdated. So you have to go in and update certain things and make, you know, alterations on certain things as well. So that's all I want to say on that. We can go to the next one.
Definitely, definitely. You know, Genius, you want to go ahead and read the next one? Or Swag, either one of y'all?
What was it, Law 19? Know who you're dealing with. Yeah, I mean, I think that's very important. Do not offend the wrong person. There are many different kinds of people in the world. Ain't that the truth? And you can never assume that everyone will react to your strategies in the same way. Deceive or outmaneuver some people, and they will spend the rest of their lives seeking revenge. They are wolves in lamb's clothing. Choose your victims and opponents carefully. Then, never offend or deceive the wrong person.
Lush, that's you. Lush, let's go. Go in, girl. That's you.
How you going? How you going?
Oh, Lush, don't play me. Come on, let's go. I know you look. This is my synopsis
on this, okay? Because I dealt with this personally, right?
Yeah,
and it's a lot of skirts out there, man. I'm going to call y'all skirts because y'all skirts out there, all right? A lot of y'all people out there want to sit there and you want to come and deal with us, you know, deal with my people and everything. And then you burn bridges. The number one thing you learn in business or in this industry is you don't burn bridges. Because you know what? At the end of the day, remember, you're going to have to see me again, pimpin'. And plenty of y'all done burnt y'all bridges with me. And remember, you're going to have to see me again because this is a small world. You never know who's connected to who. You never know who can actually take you to the next level you could have been. But the end of it might stop. Say you come in, I'm working with you and stuff. You was working for me. You burn bridges because you try to do your 5-Y and stuff, trying to take my connects and all that ever crazy. I cut you off, my man. But you kind of got.
Hold on, familiar.
Wow.
You wanna come back, and you wanna say, hey, Lush, I'm trying. You got any work? Oh, hold up, I don't got nothing for you, Kevin. You don't want to come back?
Nothing.
We have nothing, nada. We have no, not seeking revenge. We just saying you never know.
Air it out, Lush. Air it out.
And then check it. Take this out, right?
You asking me, can you get an interview or you need? Can I get this information? Nah, Pippin. And even if you did connect him, I'd be like, hold up. Oh, they're gonna call me and ask me, Lush, you think I should do an interview with them? Well, you know what? I just would like to tell you that I don't deal with them right now. But if you choose to, have your way with that situation, Pimpin.
Right.
I ain't a hater, but I'm going to let you know that's no longer my client. That's no longer a person I'm dealing business with, Pimpin. So remember, don't burn bridges in the industry or in business in general, because it might kick you in that big old butt of yours, Pimpin. And that's all I got to say.
Remember the Bobby Kick. Remember the Bobby Kick, Crazy Blue.
Yeah, and also, don't burn bridges when it comes to a relationship, you know? When you do dirty by somebody, you know how karma is. Karma is terrible. You do something wrong by somebody, you cheat on me to get with this chick that ain't even as bad as I am, and then she ends up cheating on you, and you're heartbroken. I'm laughing. That's what happens. Get it together, pimping well. I just had to air it out for y'all out there.
I know you did. That's why I knew my chick had to get that out. Sorry, people, but let's go on.
Calm down. It's gonna be all
right.
Let me fan myself. Move. Let me fan. Well,
this is our therapy session, folks. Every Thursday is our therapy. You know, we gotta get it out.
Let it out. But if anybody want to touch bases on what I just said, you know, you feel free, you know, to join in. Okay.
Bases. The toes you step on today could very much be attached to the ashes you got to kiss tomorrow. So make sure you don't step on those toes, you know.
There you go.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's definitely essential. You want to keep a certain type of rapport with people. And I mean, not even just business. You don't want to burn bridges, period. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that may be that person that you need to save your life one day. You know, and I learned that out in the field. You know, I used to tell a lot of the young people in the service that, you know, when you're in a certain type of situation, you're not going to care about what color they are, what creed or anything. You cross the wrong person's path, that very may well be the same person that you need to save your life. So you definitely have to be careful with how you deal with people, you know, and definitely know your people, to know your enemy, you know what I'm saying, as well as knowing yourself. And the more you know about yourself, the more you can know about the enemy. So that's definitely very important. That's an important law.
Definitely. It's a great law, man. And I know I sound a little vexed on that one, but, you know, it's a personal experience. I had to share with y'all, you know what I'm saying?
We love you. You feel the hug. Everybody, let's go. Everybody, let's hug her. Let's hug her. She need it.
You know, we just try to be nice to people, you know what I'm saying? They try to play games, you know. I had to smack them around a little bit. But you know what? I'm done. I'm good, you know.
Okay, look, didn't we just hug you? That was a cue.
I know, the hug.
Okay, oh, that was a cue.
We got another caller from the 347 New York, New York. What's up, New York? How you doing? We're talking about the 48 laws of power right now. Please, tell us the name where you're calling from.
G-Money in the building. Holler at your boy.
What up, G-Money? What's poppin', fam?
Oh, yeah, it's going down. You know, please support my niece. Like, everything in the book, it's real. You know what I'm saying?
I bought it.
She got to sell today.
Yeah. That's what's up. We're going to shoot a movie on there, so I'm going to be doing casting and all of that stuff, you know? So whoever got what it takes, we're going to make the book come alive in a minute.
That's what's up.
Good luck.
Definitely what's up.
It's all about supporting our black sisters and brothers, you know. I mean, the white people look at us as slaves, like we a piece of, you know, trash on the street, you know. So we got to show them that we taking over. It's not a game, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's been happening. Look at Oprah. That's been happening. We've been already making moves. We just got to continue.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Hit me up if you need the soundtrack.
Yeah, definitely. And right now we're live, and your niece is live with us. Miss Craft is live on the line with us right now at the moment and stuff. You want to say a couple of little words to your uncle real quick, and then we can move on to the second law.
I already talked about him to y'all. I'm just listening to into y'all laws.
Yeah, man.
She gave you much props, Theo. She gave me much props.
Yeah, she gave you great props on here, man. Yeah, and no. We definitely got to thank G Money for actually making the interview possible, because he's the one that actually hit me up. He was like, yo, my niece, she got such a high. You know, I said, all right, I got you. You know, and we brought her on to show her some love. So definitely shout
and
out to
her. She's a part of us now. She's a part of us, so we got to rep her to the fullest. So she's good.
Yeah, definitely.
She's good here.
Oh, yeah, don't get it twisted. I'm going to blow your show up because, you know, I assist a lot of celebrities, you know what I'm saying? So it's going
that's
down. You know, I already put the word out about your show, you know?
That's what it is. So appreciate you
down.
So much, man. But
oh,
you need
yeah,
definitely joining us. You got to join with us on this 48 Laws of Power. It's about to be crazy right now. You know, we're talking about these 48 laws of power. And I think I actually employ everybody, you know, our people from, you know, our people need to, you know, basically talk about this, because not a lot of us talk about this. And some people aren't even aware about the 48 laws of power, but it's all about deciphering it. And it's not meant for everybody, you know what I mean? And we know that 50 Cent did the 50th law with Robert Greene and stuff. So, you know, we're talking about this tonight, and definitely we want you to join in with us. What law did we leave off on, guys?
20.
We're at law 20.
20.
Now.
Law 20.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and read that. Genius or Swag? One of you guys.
Go ahead, Swag. I read the last one.
Okay.
Oh, you did. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Swag.
Yeah. So law number 20 is do not commit to anyone. It says that. It is the fool who always rushes to take sides. Do not commit to any side or cause but yourself. By maintaining your independence, you become the master of others by playing people against one another, making them pursue you. So this law says do not commit to anyone, but that's anyone, any person, any place or thing. I mean, remember, this is not the Book of Morals. This is the 48 Laws of Power we're talking about. We're talking about a book that can take you from one position of power to another, or a book that can help to defend against, you know, different levels of power. So that's what this is dealing with. Like, it's telling you don't commit to anyone, because, you know, when you commit to somebody, it's like kind of like, it's, and sometimes in a sense, it's like going backwards. You know what I mean? And if you look at history, if you actually read the book, it gives you a historical perspective on why this law is that. Because these laws are not just laws that he just sat down and said, let's come up with this because it sounds interesting. They actually studied, and there's a group of people that wrote this book with Robert Greene. It's not just Robert Greene. It's a team behind him.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to really understand what he means by this law by actually reading the book and getting the breakdown, not just taking it on face value.
That's what it is. Guys, you want to touch bases on that law? I mean, that law, you know, I mean, just to let y'all know, man, we're not saying that this applies to everyone. You know, you can, like you said, you can use it as a counteractor of different people in position. But, you know, sometimes some of these laws can be kind of crucial, man. They hard body, man, for real. Some of these laws is off the hook. But, I mean, a lot of successful people, all the multi-billionaire Fortune 500 people have read this book, and you can see where they at. So, you know, can't really question it that much. Depends on how you feel about it. How you feel about it, Fresco, Lissette, any of you guys
well,
who want to speak on this
well,
one, or G-Money?
Well, I feel that it does say do not commit to no one, but you definitely want to commit to self. And in committing to self, you're committing to a philosophy and or an act or practice that you firmly believe in. And one of the ways that I feel that this law can contradict itself is that if you do have a mastermind alliance or a group of like-mindedness individuals who share the same philosophies, acts, and or principles and are collectively working and moving towards a common goal and action, you can commit to the collective, but don't commit to the individual.
So, I mean, it can contradict itself in that sense, because it's basically saying do not commit to others. Because, again, if you commit to someone else, something else, you are relinquishing ownership, you know, like you now belong to that you commit to. But if what you're committing to is something that stems from within, and there's a collective group that also commits to that, then I don't see a problem committing to the collective mastermind.
Wow, that was like really like deep. Like I was like,
that's definitely deep. I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, I would just say, I mean, just like what the brother said, and I think it's all about the application and how you use any of these laws. Like, for instance, with this particular law, you know, it's a matter of leverage, how you look at the situation and what are you looking to gain from the situation. By playing sides in the situation, you know, by remaining neutral, it gives you a gain, because there may be something that you can gain from either of these people. By actually aligning yourself with the individual, either or, you know what I'm saying, it can actually take away that, you know, which you're trying to achieve. So by playing neutral, you know, you're being a conscious that would actually build a demand that could have a value that you can gain from, you know. So I think with any of these, it's all about, you know, how you actually apply them. Like what Swag was saying, is definitely reading the book and understanding these things. This is not just something, as you said, that people just, you know, sat down and just wrote. You know, as with all, you know, laws that have been written, these are things that have been proven and studied, you know, throughout history and time. And they all, you know, have great applications. But it's all about the individual who actually applies any of these, whether in an attack or a defense. How you apply it, you know, will determine the outcome.
And if I could just add to that real quick, the key is the application of the law. A lot of people follow the misconception that knowledge is power. But in truth, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is only potential. Applied knowledge is the true power. So just the fact that just by knowing these laws does not mean that you have a grip on power. It just means that you know of how it can or can't be used. But it isn't until you apply it and adapt it to your own circumstances and situations in which that you can – it's not until you apply it to your situation that you can truly see – the true power within these laws. Because, again, knowledge is potential. Applied knowledge is power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once you take it from that potential and you make it kinetic, it's no longer knowledge. You know, it's now in the form of wisdom, because that has been applied. So that which is applied is no longer potential. It's now made kinetic and it's realistic. You know, it's actually here. You could see it and you could actually see the manifestations of it, you know. So that's an important point that you brought up, brother. Another thing I wanted to add on to what you were saying in reference to that is that, you know, we have to also understand that, you know, once you commit, you give up the power. You give up the ability to say, I don't want to do this and don't want to do that. This book is not only about, you know, applying these laws, you know, just to be applying them. It's about defense as well, because defense is important as well. Look at how many people who have got jerked around in the recording industry, in the entertainment industry, who have little knowledge, and they get crushed, you know, by people like, you know, certain people. I ain't even going to mention names, but, you know, certain people in industry, they take advantage of them, you know, by not committing, and that's what the people are doing now. And this is even true for what the sister said in reference to her book. She said, I published it by myself. That's real, because now she's not committed to a publishing company where she has to be tied down to a, you know, 3 or 4 book contract. She can make moves and motivate and be mobile on her own and not have to deal with, you know, basically having a boss over her head. So that's definitely peace right there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think we're going to have our caller number 10. I think we're going to have a winner. I'm sorry, Fresco, but I think we're going to actually have a winner. We're actually going to have a winner tonight. And I think it's going to be the person right after Bugsy. Bugsy, you're live on the line with us on Street Queens, the movement. You want to touch bases on any of the laws, or you still want to just sit on the line with us? And I think, just to let you guys know, I think we might have a special guest on the line with us also.
and everything. Buzzy, do you have something that you wanted to say?
How come I can't be the winner? I just want to start off. How come I can't be the winner? Why I gotta be the person that has to be? But I just came through show love to all the kings and queens on the lines and the listeners. You know, I'm trying to go ready to catch this game, 7-man root for my team, but I had to come show love, you know.
That's what it is. We definitely love you. Shout out to the Celtics. We definitely want them to win and stuff. So I'm going to open up the line, and this is caller number 10. Caller number 10, you are a winner of the book of Harsh Reality, Impossible Dreams, you know, from Miss Kraft, and she's live on the line with us, and you will get the book shipped to you, personalized. Go ahead and read some class. Call number 10. You're the winner.
Your name, where you calling from?
So tell us your name and where you're calling from, and I think it's our special guest. Is it? Talk to us now, 917.
Hello. Did I win the book?
You want a book,
917? I want a book, B. That's what it is, B. I like books, B. I like it all. What's up, B?
What's up with you, man? Let y'all guys know, this caller that's calling is a special guest, a special good friend of mine. The one, the only, the hottest hype man in the world. Your man that writes lyrics for the hottest people out there. The one, the only, Spliff Star is in the building with us.
Spliff got my book.
What's up, Spliff?
I got your book, son. I'm gonna hit you on Twitter about that, Spliff. Twitter me, son. Twitter me. Hey, yo. That's the first time I won something. I want some stuff at Coney Island back in the day. You know,
oh my goodness, Coney Island.
That's about it, though.
New York.
We're not so much. Everybody, we right now, if you're just joining us, we have the world famous Flip Star, right hand man, some Busta Rhymes compadre, also songwriter, also artist himself, also the number one hype man in the world. Your boy, Flip Star is live in the building with us. And we're talking about the 48 laws of power, Flip, man.
Oh my God. I don't like that book. That book changed a lot of cats in the industry, man. I don't like that book, man. That book didn't change them. Nah, you know, they got stuff in that book that, since other big heads in the game was reading this book and all that and passing it around in the industry, cats started thinking, well, that was the thing to get with, like 48 Powers of Law, be late to show importance, use other people to get what you want and stuff like that. I don't rock with those things. So when a book like that, I read the first pages and then it's on some negative thing, but yet still they try to turn it into a positive, I'm not with that. I'm not use people and be late to be show importance and all this extra. Get the hell out of here, man. This is the thing, though.
We're saying that the book is not for everybody, and then on top of that, some of the laws are some natural things that people will do anyway. And then on top of that, this book is not actually meant, to actually become this person that they're talking about with the 48 laws, but basically sometimes you can use it to counteract somebody that's using these laws against you.
Knowledgement is the key. Anyway, you got to know both sides, you know what I'm saying? Just because I don't like the book, that don't mean I don't respect it, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But, due to the fact that I know about it and everything, I could play chess all day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good, but I don't like the book. I definitely don't like the book. I'm telling you, man, I done seen it change mad people. It changed their soul, their way of thinking and everything. It changed their soul. People, they don't got the same cats around them as they used to. And, you know, and they live by this 48 powers of law, man. I watch it. I see them doing it, and I know where they get it from when
but
I see
it. The interpretation of the book.
Excuse me?
Not like some people interpret it to be one thing when it means something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
well, they,
like
it seems to...
knowledge of it or understanding of it, you might be applying the
Nah, I'm not saying I'm not saying that, you know, the whole book is, you know, just some negativity stuff. I'm just saying that majority of what's in that book on a negative level, people have soaked that in more than the positive stuff, especially in the industry. They soaked in the,
well,
you know what's up?
Yeah, Split, I like to answer to that. I mean, with all things, I mean, like fire, for example, there's always a negative and positive to it. I mean, fire can cook a meal for a man, but if used negatively, you could burn the man with the fire. So, I mean, we all
exactly.
know that the industry itself
yeah.
is a negative environment in the sense that there's a lot of cutthroat going on with or without the book. So there's a lot of people who see the book and then apply it to, you know, out of their own self greed interest. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's not that it's a negative book per se, but if you put it in an environment full of sharks, chances are you're going to get bit. And that's basically why, I mean, I would think you have that perspective on the book. Because, I mean, there's a lot of sharks with that, you know, they bite people anyway. So, I mean,
yeah.
they just sharpening their bite with the book.
Yeah, well, hold on real quick. We're going to go into law number 20, and I want to hear what Smith has to say about this law right here. Law number
Hello,
20.
What's that?
21. This is law 21. Number 20. This is law 21. Number 20. Are we on 21? Oh, yeah, we're on 21. We're on 21. Thank you for keeping me on track. That's why I have people around the corner. Just want to talk. Okay, law number 21. Play a sucker to catch a sucker. Seem dumber than your mark. No one likes feeling stupider than the next person. The trick is to make your victims feel smarter and not just smart, but smarter than you are. Once convinced of this, they will never suspect that you may have a ulterior motive. I want to know what you think about that, Spliff.
Well, it's to keep it all simple, it's saying play possum. You feel me? It's saying play possum again. But then again, there it goes again on a positive level. You can play possum, you know, and don't act like you know everything all the time. Sometimes let somebody else come with an opinion or an idea. It's only right, you know what I mean, to share a thought. It's only right. But then again, it's some mind thing where they use that to trick other people on a negative level. So like I said, it's a good and an evil to it. You know what I'm saying? It's a good and evil to it. It's just that it's what people exalt the most and how they take it. And I think people more is on the negative side about things, period. You know what I mean? Because I played possum a lot of times, you know, where I could have went off the rocker about certain situations. And I played possum. And when I did play possum, the results were better. They were better. You know what I mean? So it's about strategic moving. Movement in life, you know that saying, you know, life is like chess, it's not no checkers, and that's true. You know what I mean? A man moves strategically in life. He could become a king, definitely, and he has his pawns around him, and if he moves strategic, he could become a king, and so can a pawn. You didn't
definitely.
So,
I think you put that in a good synopsis right there. So I think we can go ahead and move on to law 22. Emma, you want to take that
up.
One?
Not to cut y'all off. You know, I'm in the studio, man. I got to get back to the booth. I love you like cooked food. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to
everybody up there. You know what I mean?
Please.
You know what I mean? Like
have
I said, 48 powers of the law has its good and its evils to it. All right, just like certain humans on this planet, we have good people, we got bad people. You know what I mean? But what creates God is love. Love is what creates God, understanding and respect. That's all you need to do. That's the hell with that book. You have love and respect and understanding in your heart. You can go anywhere, be anything, have anything. Because one thing people do like is a person with a good heart. Even the devil got to kneel down in that. You got what I'm saying? Person with understanding and love and respect, you can't fool them or nothing because they're leaders. They're not followers.
Definitely.
You hear me?
And Smith, I'm going to call you on the flip side to get your information so we can send off that personalized book that you won tonight. Thank you for being that 10th caller.
No doubt.
The show. You know,
I want a book. I want a book. Hey, yo, do they got some coloring pages in there? Can I, like, color and stuff? One love to everybody, man. You know what I'm saying? One love to everybody. Remember, less hating, more kicking. That's what it is.
Definitely. And we'll be airing a new song from Spliff on Friday, so make sure you check that out on the Hot or Not to give us that feedback on that song this Friday. We appreciate you, Spliff, and we love you to death, man. I love you too, fam. Talk to you later.
I love you too, baby. You sexy chocolate woman. Take care, girl.
That's what it is. Spliff Star is definitely live on the line with us on the show. The next one, we're going on to the next one. Sway, 22. You want to go ahead and 22. Is Swag still on the phone with us? Did we lose Swag?
I'm right here. Door number 22 is use the surrender tactic. Now, I'm right here. Door number 22 is use the surrender tactic. Transform weakness into power. You know what I'm saying? It says, when you are weaker, never fight for honor's sake. Choose surrender instead. Surrender gives you time to recover, time to torment and irritate your conqueror. Time to wait for his power to wane. Do not give him the satisfaction of fighting and defeating you. Surrender first. By turning the other cheek, you infuriate and unsettle him. Make surrender a tool of power. And basically, I like this law a lot. This law is relevant to contrast to what the brother was just saying about, you know, I understand he's saying he didn't like the book, but a lot of times, you know, you could have love in your heart and be nice and genuine and be, you know, all such a kind-hearted, good, loving person, and you get crushed. You know what I'm saying? Because the world is full of snakes and it's full of sharks. And, you know, sometimes you have to be able to have the knowledge of these laws to apply it to the enemy that's doing these things to you. You know what I mean? You think the Native Americans, you think they were thinking about 40 laws of power? They weren't thinking about that. They were nice, kind. They welcomed these people in, and what happened to them? They got crushed totally. You know what I mean? So, you know, you have to have this kind of mindset of defense. That's what this book is. To me, the book is really about defense. It's not so much about attacking people and doing negative to people. The book is really about defense. That's what the book is about. You know what I mean? So this law is relevant to that particular fact.
Okay. And I got a quick announcement. Ebony couldn't join us tonight. She's at her son's graduation. He graduated high school today. Congratulations to Ebony's son for graduating high school.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Ebony's son for graduating high school. So we definitely salute. We definitely love our children completing school and stuff like that, definitely. And I think you know, that law is interesting and stuff. You know, like I said, you can use the law to counteract. You can use it, you know, depending on, you know, what the situation is. But like he said, he's saying from personal note is that he knows cats, like cats that he used to roll with, that he knows cats that, like, actually takes this and live by this every single day. And it's actually made them into, like, real evil people. So, you know, so it's crazy. You know?
Yeah, it's
really crazy. Does anybody want to touch on that law before we move on?
Swag, he made a good point on it, and I think, you know, like we said before, it's all in the application that the person you know, that the person who actually reads it and applies it is all about how they applicate it. If they apply, you know, applicate it in a negative manner, then, you know, that's them. But, you know, at the same time, I think it's all about strengthening yourself and preparing yourself for, you know, reality. You know, reality is that there are going to be people that are going to try to do things. Like, I'll use the election with Bush for an example, you know. Bush knew he was going to win because he utilized every last asset and tactic that he had to his power, with his father being the head of the CIA at the time, to win. You know, when Al Gore wanted to play the good role, you know, and not utilize all of the things that were needed in order to win. You know, at the end of the day, it's survival of the fittest in the world that we live in. So you have to arm yourself properly, you know what I'm saying? You know, not everybody is going to be David with the slingshot able to take out Goliath. So you have to be able to arm yourself mentally as well as physically and spiritually. And so it's all about how you apply it. That's going to determine the outcome.
Definitely, definitely. And we're going to move on to the next law. Emma, go ahead and take the floor, baby.
Law number 23, concentrate your forces. Why it sounds like I read something wrong?
Concentrate your forces,
right? Right?
Yeah,
I got this wrong, right? Concentrate your forces. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing at me? Which law is that? Which law is that? Which law is that? Okay, I'm going to keep going.
Concentrate. I'm going to concentrate.
Okay. Usa. Okay. Oh, that was another lawyer. Ty came me out of my square. All right, I'm back. Conserve your forces and energies by keeping them concentrated at the strongest point. This one must have been meant for me. You gain more by finding a rich mine and mining it deeper than by fitting from one shallow mine to another. Intensity defeats extensity every time. Is it first law say something like that? Okay. When looking for sources of power to elevate you, find the one key patron, the fat cow, who will give you milk for a long time to come. Speak on it. I think first law something like this, right? First law, you know what?
That's a deep law, and I think that, you know, is very key. And I mean, just my synopsis is, it's just like if you were BP and you were, you know, mining for oil. If you sit there and you know, waste all your resources trying to, you know, discover 40 million different mines, then you're going to wind up broke. You know what I'm saying? You're going to exhaust yourself. You know, why not actually mine the most out of a situation, get the most from that situation, as opposed to stretching your resources beyond what you can actually afford, you know.
See, now that I heard Genius say that, that was definitely something that Fresco has said. No, he said like all that. Remember with the clients and stuff like that? He made a reference to that.
Yeah, this is definitely imperative. No, go ahead. I was just gonna say that this law is extremely important, and this is one of the if you study this law is the reason why a lot of us fail in life, because we don't do that, because we don't concentrate our forces. You know, a lot of times, you know, you have people being, you know what I mean, being promiscuous, for instance, right? You got a man may have three or four women, right? Now, by you having three or four women, you know how much energy it takes to have three or four women. You got three or four birthdays. You got three or four, you know what I'm saying, Christmas, you know what I mean?
Stupid.
You know, Mother's Day. So you're not able to concentrate.
Economically stupid.
Exactly. And not only economically, but your energy is drained. Now you just came from seeing her. Yeah. It takes energy to do these things. So, you know, emotional energy, mental energy, by you not concentrating on this one particular person and you dividing your energy in four and five people, now when you get to this one person, you can't effectively be as strong as you have been in the previous years in time. So now this person notices that change. Or even in a job, you know, you have two jobs, and then, you know, sometimes it'll affect your ability to be a mother. You know what I'm saying? Because how are you going to do two things effectively, you know, and come out with great results. A lot of times it doesn't work like that. And it's actually been studies shown and proven. Last year they did a study in England where they said multitasking is really not as good as it seems. It's overrated. You know, you actually lose 40% of the quality, you know, of your work when you multitask. So it's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do these two things, but you're actually doing less. You should just concentrate on one thing, finish that, and then go to the next, you know? If you're working on your bachelor's degree, you're going on your bachelor's degree, get your bachelor's degree, and then go into whatever else you want to do. But we want to do 50 million things, you know, trying to rush and trying to defy this law. And what happens is we end up saying, damn, at the end of the year, damn, now I don't have anything.
That's true. That's true for businesses, too. Like, you know, if you have a clothing line and then you're not necessarily done with the clothing line, you jump into the magazine, you jump into the TV, jump into the radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody in the industry has more than five businesses that none of them are flourishing. So everybody owns this, owns that. Everybody's the owner of this to that. But then when you tell them, all right, let me see your product. Oh, it's not finished. Oh, I'm still doing it. I still haven't finished it. So
how effective is it when you apply your energy to that one venture? You know, eventually it starts blossoming.
That's like to answer that question is like, hey, it's Bill Gates, because it was so serious to him that he was like, I even want to leave school. My business is so important to me, and my vision is so important to me that I'm even gonna leave school. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'll drop out of Harvard so that way I could, because what I'm about to do is gonna change the world. And look what happened. He's the richest man in the world now. He's actually the second richest man in the world. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Donnie Hathaway did the same thing.
Well, you know what? I think Genius was on the line with me when we were talking business. Let's talk about business on Wednesday, yesterday. And we were talking about, we had Deck ENT on the line. And who else did we have on the show yesterday? I can't really remember. But yesterday, we do so much stuff, yeah. But but at least I'm able to at least have, if I started Lush Radio Online, and then we started Street Queens, the movement, and it's something that we kept stay consistent with, you know, and it wasn't something that just, came out the blue and we want to do this, do that. We stay consistent with it. Because if you don't stay consistent, people don't take you seriously, you know, and people recognize the hard work that we do each and every day, the hopeful, you know. And we talked about it. Like, a lot of people in the industry got these business cards. They talk about, I got a business. You don't even got an LLC. You don't have no legal documentation that you're a company. On top of that, you a manager, want to be an artist, want to be a DJ, want to be a model. Hold up. What do you really do? Because I really don't get it where you fit in. Me. You know that phrase that says a master of everything but a master of none? Make sure that you focus on one thing before you move on to the next. You know, people don't take
more trades.
When
more trades, master
of
none.
It takes a lot to run a business, especially when you have multiple services. You have to have, even when you have different services or you create different entities, and using Bill Gates as an example, he didn't do it by himself. He had a team of 12 people surrounding him, and each of those intricate parts, you know, actually are what built him to where he's at, you know. And he didn't wear all of those hats. Trying to do that, you'll kill yourself. In the beginning, I started off trying to do that, and I was worn down. You know, one person, there's only so much you can do. You have to put you have to have different people with you. You know what I'm saying? You have to have a strong team that actually sees the same, you all share the same common goal and work towards achieving that same common goal. Otherwise, you're just defeating yourself. You know what I'm saying? Said before, stick to that one thing, get that thing where it needs to be, to where it's self-sufficient, and then you can build upon that. As opposed to trying to, and that goes to one of the laws about the mining, where you go out and you go into mine in 40 million different places, and you know you broke.
But you know what? That's why we emphasize the whole thing about, you know, having a team. Once you have a team and everything, that basically, you know what I'm saying, eliminates you from all that craziness, because everybody stays in their lane, stays their role, and then you don't have a situation like that being all over the place, you know? And in order for you to have a functional business, you have to be serious and you have to be focused on one thing, because there's no way in hell anybody, unless you're a Pisces, you know, I just had to throw it out there. But, you're able to do that. But we're going to move on to the next law, and I'm going to open up the lines for the last two callers that we have on the show. We have 18 more minutes, so I don't think we're going to get off to all, so we're going to have part three of the laws. It's crazy, man. This stuff is deep, man. You know what I mean? And remember, again, we're fighting against the Celtics and Lakers game. Shout out to the Celtics. We want you to win, for real, man. Go ahead and go
for
the
best. Yeah, we have to halftime right now.
Yeah, we have right now. You know what I'm saying? What's the score, anybody? Tell us the score. What's going on?
I think we are about two. It's halftime.
Okay, that's what's up. Are we ending
at law 24, or
we're gonna end off at law 24. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna end off at law 24 and recap on law 25 next week on Street Queens the Movement. So go into the next law, anybody, and then we're gonna open up the lines for the other people so they can touch bases on the law.
We'll let the ladies do the last one. It's only right.
Okay.
Lisa, do you have a book present in front of you?
I have something like that.
Right. Law 25, then. Go into Law 25.
24. Yeah, 24. All right. Law 24. Play the perfect courtier. The perfect courtier thrives in a world where everything revolves around power and political dexterity. She has mastered the art of indirection. She flatters, yields to superiors, and asserts power over others in the most oblique and graceful manner. Learn and apply the laws of courtiership, and there will be no limit to how far you can rise in the court. I have to check.
For me,
because I don't understand.
It's swag. Come on and break it down for us, swag.
I'm gonna break it down right now. Basically, you know what I'm saying? Going into that particular law right there is dealing with observation. You know, if you're in a job, right? For instance, you know, the perfect courtier is like that person that's observing everything. They're kind of like in the center. It's kind of like a liaison. So it's like, let's say if your job is the coordinator. Right, the person that's the director, and then you got the people in the mail room. You in the middle, and you're learning how to center, you know, and work with the mail room and work with the executives. You know, you're doing everything. That's basically what that's dealing with right there. A prime example of that would be like we talk about 50 Cent before. What 50 Cent did, he lived out these laws, obviously. But he definitely played that role because he sat back and watched and what needed to be done, and he executed it. So, I mean, that's a prime example of how, you know, you could apply that to that particular law.
Definitely. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line for our two new callers and let them touch bases on that law and what they feel about it. I think we have the super-sized Spanish fly live on the line. Links, you there with us again, boo?
Yeah, you hear me?
Oh, okay, that's the wrong part, my bad.
Yeah.
Hello. What's up? Tell us your name and where you calling from, babe.
Yeah, this is Fresco D Star. I got dropped off the line earlier. Yeah, I got dropped off the line earlier. I had a call back. I just wanted to touch on Law 23. I was hearing on that law, but I was muted. What I heard a lot in regards to that law was focusing on one thing, but what wasn't mentioned is what exactly that thing should be. And that thing that you should focus all your efforts on is the law of being duplicatable. It's the law of efficiency. It's the law of streamlining whatever it is you do. In other words, see, what I heard was, you know, don't run too many businesses because you're going to stretch yourself thin. No, when they say focus your efforts, it means focusing on streamlining that project where it can become self-sufficient and self-contained, where it can duplicate within itself. Because once it runs itself, you're able to then expand yourself and actually build more castles and move on to other empires. So, you know, it doesn't mean don't do more than one thing. It just means do them correctly so they can run themselves. So focus your efforts on having your projects duplicate itself.
Definitely, definitely. Let me open up the other line. I think we got our boy Q from New Jersey having the building with us. Q, you want to touch on it, Q?
How's everybody doing, first and foremost? Can you hear me? Hey, okay, I'm good. I missed the conversation. I just came in. I mean, I broke ground on my new business today and everything, and I was with that all day today, and I'm just getting in the house. And what I'm not understanding is the laws, because, I mean, like I said, I just came in the middle of the conversation, and I know I didn't have much time to listen to it and everything. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the 48 laws of power. Most of the people that have Fortune 500 companies, even 50 Cent, all the power players in the industry and that have multi-billion-dollar businesses have read this book. The book is either used to either project some of the laws for your personal gain or either use it to counteract, you know, people using the laws against you. So it's all about how you decipher the book. So each law, we talk about it and we discuss it in the forum.
Oh, okay. Well, let me know where I can find this book and what's the name of this book, because, I mean, that's definitely something I would like to read and catch up on.
We have the transcripts of the laws. We have it right now for $2 via PayPal, and we'll send it to you via email. It's only $2, and you can follow along with us. This is part two. We're doing part three next week.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is something that really gained my interest in everything, because, like I say, I just broke ground on my business today. I'm opening the largest laundromat facility here on the East Coast, well, in Jersey at least, that I know of, you know, and this is something I definitely like to focus on.
Yeah, we just talked about focus, and a lot of people want to do this, that, and the third, and they don't stay focused on one thing. In order for you to be able to be a true master, you must master one thing and then move on to the next one. So that was what we were talking about. But we're about to move on to the next law, and I think what the next law was for us was Law 25. Guys?
Okay. Yeah.
Emma, take the floor. Let's go. Emma, you still with us? Did we lose Emma? Oh, Lord have mercy. Emma, are you there? Emma, chicken, what you doing? Law 25, recreate yourself. Do not expect the roles of society, voice, is that how you say that?
Voice
on you. Recreate yourself by forgiving a new identity. By forging a new identity, one that commands attention and never bores the audience. Be the master of your own image rather than letting others define it for you. That was a misspell. It says if
yeah, that's
for
a typo.
You. Yeah, typo. If for you. Incorporate dramatic devices into your public gestures and actions. Your power will be enhanced and your character will seem larger than life. So create the image. Create the image that you want. Because everybody really wears a mask in life. Like, nobody really shows their true self out there. You got your outside person. Like, I got Lush. People know me as Lush. And I have Mo. Moji Soledu, the mother and all that stuff. So unless you're really close to me, you won't know that side. You know Lush, the hype person. A lot of people call me, you know, on a late night and call me and say, yo, Lush. You don't sound like the same person. Because I'm a totally, all this hypeness and stuff is totally different when you call. You're like, dang, Les, I can't even hear you, son. What are you saying? but the hype Les, you know what I'm saying, is that, yo, it's Les, you know what I'm saying? Woo, woo. See, people see me as this hype person. I'm always going in. I'm going hard body. That's the persona I want people to see. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody has to create their own image that they want the world to see.
And when you do it, you gotta go hard with it. And you want people to come and they'll actually come and they'll come to you because they like your larger than life attitude, you know. I mean, you know, you like Puff Daddy, he's larger than life. He, to some people, they think Puffy's God. They're larger than life. Some people, 50 Cent seem larger than life.
Right.
Bill Gates seems like he's larger than life, you know. But it's all about the steps that he took to make that situation. But Lissette, you want to touch bases on that, or Emma? Ladies.
I think Emma's still eating some caramel candy. But,
you know, creating yourself. Good.
As far as creating yourself, it's very important because what happens is we're influenced a lot by the media, by television, you know, by surroundings and everything. And sometimes you can get lost in the crowd, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes you just got to, like, step back, you know what I'm saying, take a look at yourself. Is this me? Is this the real me? Depending on what kind of business you're in, you might want to try something different, you know what I'm saying? Instead of being the same monotonous person, you know what I'm saying, you might want to be a little more, you know, have more spectacles and you know, have a different subject in your performance, you know, whether you're a DJ or whatever. You want to recreate yourself to be more exciting, you know, so you cannot blend in with everybody else. You know, so sometimes you just got to, like, step back, take a look at yourself and say, you know, how can I be a better person? You know what I mean? I really like this law. I think it holds a lot of truth in my life.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. That's what's up. Swag. I always like when Swag talks. He was so hyped. I'd be like, dog, just like, shoot me up with whatever Swag has. Go ahead, Swag.
I told y'all from the beginning what it is. What I take is that wheatgrass and that chlorophyll. That's what I take. I keep that circulating through my body. But it's important to recreate yourself. And a prime example of that, we use these examples of these people that you know, they've been successful in their career. They didn't necessarily start out like that. You know, a lot of times in that particular industry, like, and not only in the rap industry, but also, like, you know, dealing with R&B, dealing with, you know, actors, actresses, they start out a certain way, and then they're like, okay, I'm typecast, so I have to recreate myself and come out this particular way. So, I mean, that's definitely a powerful law that will help you to be successful and achieve your goals. You know, you definitely got to recreate yourself. A important, like, if you look at right now, look at what DMX is trying to do, is he trying to recreate himself. You know what I mean? Because he has no choice at this point. Because, I mean, I think people is a little tired of, like, the, you know, you know what I mean? Like, nobody really want to do that no more. That's like a little 9-10-year-old joint right there. So you got to come with something different now.
You saying, son? I'm on a lot.
I always say that, you know, in relation to Law 25, I mean, when it comes to, you know, creating yourself, I always stress be an aboriginal, you know, be the first, you know, don't be a follower, you know, and the only person that can tell your story the best is you, you know, and the only way to be successful is to find the things that are within you. And it's not hard to recreate yourself. It's just the more you understand about yourself, then the more sides of yourself then you can show. Because a lot of times we reserve ourselves, and we're afraid to expand upon those things, either because we don't understand or it's a self-created fear, because fear is self-created. You know, and when we conquer those things and we understand ourselves more, then it's easier for us to actually recreate ourselves so that we're not, you know, constraining ourselves to deny ourselves our fullest infinite potential.
Definitely. And Q, you want to touch bases on that law? Because that's the final law. We're going to recap on Law 26 next week, Thursday, on 48 Laws of Power. You want to talk on that, Q?
No, I don't have anything to say. I need to really read these things before I could really make a comment on it. But if I say something, I might sound stupid.
Okay. We'll make sure you get a transcript and stuff so you can definitely follow us next week, Thursday. We got a caller from the 646 live in the building with us on Street Queens of Movement. P646, what up? 646? All right. thing, 646, stay on the line. Well, huh?
No, I was telling you to press one.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, the 48 laws of power is basically a situation where, you know, decide if you want to read a book, you know, and, you know, it's not, we're not saying to go out there and just, you know, take that and start applying it to people and stuff, you know. You know, it's just reading it and understanding. And, you know, like they said, applied knowledge is power, like Fresco said. And, you know, the thing about it is that we only do these shows so we can educate you on things that you might not. Some people have never even heard about the 48 laws of power. And I really want our people to at least know about it and know the existence of it and to know that sometimes you can counteract the people that are trying to apply these laws towards you or at least know how to deal with it, you know. And to each his own, if you use the power to gain your power, that's you, you know. And some of the things that are part of these 48 laws of power are some of the things that we do naturally anyway. And, you know, it's just a natural thing that we do. I don't agree with everything that's on the different laws, but it depends how you take it, you know. So the thing about it is that we're not implying that you have to use it or you have to read the book. But if you're interested in it, you know, make sure you join us next week, same time at 8:00 p.m. And make sure that if you don't have the transcript, we'll send it to you. It's only $2. Email me at CEOLushRadioOnline@gmail.com. And you can follow along with us on the transcript. Only $2, you know. So definitely hit us up. And we definitely want to thank Swag for the inspiration of this whole entire show. It's definitely been bringing a lot of thought-provoking thoughts to the people. And, you know, and all of our wonderful guests on the line. So we're going to wrap up the show and just tell everybody thank you so much for joining us each and every Thursday. Hopefully we'll have Maya to be from the roundtable as our special guest. We want to thank our special guest, Shanice Kraft, for joining us on the show, a wonderful, beautiful author. We implore everybody to go purchase her book at Barnes & Noble. It's The Harsh Reality and the Impossible Dream. And also on top of that, we want to shout out our boy Flip Star from Flip Mode, Busta Rhymes right-hand man and the number one hype man in the world. Definitely want to shout him out for coming and joining us, and G-Money, and all of our beautiful people, the beautiful and sexy Emma of E2K Magazine, our Street Queens president, along with Lissette Lissette, Fresco, Street Saman, and, you know, all of our beautiful people, Genius, Bugsy, Swag, everybody, and Q, live from Jersey. We love all of y'all guys, and we definitely, you know, thank you guys for joining us. Real quick, I want Genius to tell everybody about the event that's going down for Father's Day, because we always try to support people out there that are doing positive things for the children and things in the community. So put that information out there for the people, Genius, real quick.
For all the fathers, even the mothers, anybody with kids, even if you don't have kids, we're doing an event, a carnival, the second annual one on June 20th, it's Sunday. It's actually free to attend. There's going to be a concert and a carnival, so there'll be riots, games, as well as performances. All of my artists from my label will be performing, as well as other artists. And all of the proceeds are actually going to the D.C. Public Schools kids after school programs, because they're killing the programs in the schools. So please come out and support it. We need to have arts and crafts and music, you know, in the schools. And that's actually being brought to you by myself, as well as Kid Power and the DC mayor. You know, I reserve my opinions of them, but, you know, for the city, come out and support them. Come out and show your support. And you can actually get all of the information from my website, www.geniusmusic.com. That's G-N-E-O-U-S music.com. Or you can actually go to Lush site. I think she has it up. Or you can go on Facebook or on Twitter, you know, and find out if you're interested, if you're in the DMV area, then be my guest. And definitely come out and show your support. Or if you're even trying to be a part of it and help out, then, you know, contact me on Twitter and, you know, we can take it from there.
Definitely. And definitely on top of that, we also, I want you guys to check out Destiny Parker's Foundation. A while back on the show, we had a young lady, Mr. Parker and Mrs. Parker live on the line. Their daughter, Destiny Parker, died of the H1N1 virus,
and it fatally took her away in a short period in her life. And they created a foundation that I'm definitely supporting. They're out in the Baltimore area. So I implore everybody to go and support them and what they're doing with trying to give awareness about the H1N1 disease and trying to provide, you know, help for young kids going through different situations. So please log on to www.destinyDestineParkerFoundation.org and make sure you let them know you heard it from Street Queens, the movement, and we'll be. And the link is actually on my Facebook page. It's www.facebook.com/CEO Let's Radio Online. And also, I'll be sending out the link also. The book information on Ms. Kraft is located on www.letsradioonline.com and also on streetqueensthemovement.ning.com and also on my Facebook. So make sure you guys go and support the young lady doing her book and support everybody that's doing some positive things in the industry. Me and Emma are actually working on the Street Queens annual female conference. And we're trying to bring all of the female bosses, all of the women that are in the community, speakers and everything to come together and one day to do something positive and encourage and empower other young ladies. So we're working on that, and we have some other venues. So look out for that. Look out for our Street Queens book. We're either going to do it paperback or either we're going to do it e-book for you guys. It's going to be a poetry of empowerment book, and we might be doing it online. We might actually work on doing an e-book first, and then we might see how that goes, and then might be doing a paperback book and stuff like that and do a signing. So watch out for that situation. We're working on a lot of different things, so look out for the Street Queens. And Friday, you know what goes down, the Hot or Not show, and we always going to do some hot music and talk about different things. And you know what I'm saying? It's get the out of here Friday, you know what I'm saying? Since this is a family show, I can't go in real hard. But we love y'all guys to death. Let's Radio Online, Street Queens, the movement, Murder, Streets of Mind, Genius Music, the whole squad. We love y'all to death. Let's Radio Online. Make sure you follow Emma E2K Magazine, Genius Music, but it's Genius. And also make sure you follow Fresco online. Make sure you follow Lissette. Q is on Facebook, Split Star, Star Spliff on Twitter. Follow the whole squad. We here. Street Queens the movement, man. Same time, same place, 8 o'clock p.m. And we out of here. No matter what you go through, no matter what you do, keep winning and don't stop. And you know what? I love all y'all people, man, because y'all keep us where we at. And, you know, consistency is the thing, man. Stay consistent and stay driven. Don't let nobody stop you from what you're doing. We love y'all to death. Lush Radio Online. Mwah. Love y'all. Peace, everybody. Make sure y'all put that somewhere that it matters. Watch you. We out of here, man. We out of here,
Juneteenth, man. Juneteenth tomorrow. Wake up. Juneteenth.
Wake up. Juneteenth. Make sure tomorrow we also doing an acknowledgement to Juneteenth. If people don't know, that is around the time of the Emancipation Proclamation. Texas was the last state to release the slaves, and that's really our actual Independence Day. So, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have our Independence Day in June. So, Juneteenth, make sure you celebrate that. You're celebrating in New York all over. Make sure you adopt it and celebrate it and pass it down from generation to generation. Juneteenth, tomorrow we're going to celebrate it. Holla at us, man. Keep winning. Street Queens, the movement, man. We love you. Mwah. We out.
They don't give a damn about you. Kick you in the face when you down.
Yeah.
So many people doubted me. Well, I'm on top. Look at me now.
Hey.